Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? Jesus knocked us off the line. I try to come back in, y'all, but white Jesus, he just refused to be defeated. You're listening to Mr. Savannah Black Constant Attack, and I'm going to have my folks to come back in on the line that were on show number one. Brother Sunray.
Peace to you, Brother P.
Peace, brother. I got a lot of the line, and I have to memorize those numbers to call in and put my pen in. But we were talking about white Jesus and what it is and who it is that he is in the diabolical BS that happens because we are so in love with this cracker image. I think that 2 hours per set like this right here, Brother Sunray, is not enough. I think we need a little bit more time to kind of get these things explained. Because this crack of Jesus is very dangerous, not only to me and not only to you, but also to the masses of black folks all over the United States of America. And burning that image of Christ of Jesus is not only liberating, but it's like I had told you earlier, brother, it's healthy. It's something that a lot of people that call themselves conscious have never done. Also, they might haven't even put him in a shredder. They might haven't even took his scissors and cut this cracker to pieces. They might haven't done anything to liberate themselves from this cracker. But you listen to Savannah Black Constant Attack. And before I go back in on this, I'm going to continue to play the song that went off before the line hung up, because I feel like it's very important that people need to realize that you call yourself an American and you love this country. It's nothing to matter with loving the land that you walk on that's underneath your feet, but loving the liberty, which I mean is the system that these people have put out there that a lot of black folks gravitate to, that they think they are a part of, is something that's very dangerous, not only to the man or the woman, but also to little black boys and girls that go to school and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, thinking that that makes them 100% vested. By the democracy, they get treated equally as everybody else. You listen to Mr. Savannah Black Constant Attack. I got Sister Tria, got Brother Sunray now on the line. I'm going to play this song. This right here is America by Trick Daddy. and it explains a lot of the struggle that we're going. Mr. Van Black, Compton Tech, I'll be right back.
Supposed to be the land of the free. I don't see how. Count me in. Oh, America. Oh, America. Hey, yeah. America. America. Sweet land of liberty, y'all. I'm doing this for the struggle. And every bad doing brother, sister, daddy, your mother, who living in the gutter. You want better cars and a better heart. Another star, your home yard. And a place to park. You want a fucking wife and a better life. A bigger crib and a home cooked meal. Every single night, hell, you feel what you're going through. But I could've warned you when it's time to be a man. Do all you can to other lands and don't be living for the other man. Take time out, set it in, be the better man. And closer, watch your friends and then you'll understand. I look better then. But on the other hand, you so goddamn stubborn. And you be starting shit. And ever since you made president, we ain't even seen you since. You need to fucking meet. Build our schools, rebuild our church and home, and stop killing my own kind and leave my earth alone. And stop tapping my phone and searching my brain and keep your personal feelings home when you're betting my phone. Do it for the weak and strong, and it eats its own. Do it for the mangoes when all the pieces gone.
You wasn't telling me, you was telling me, you was not
the
free.
No,
no way, not in America.
Not America.
Not America.
Not in America.
That we are the indigenous people, that this is our land. We expect to get treated of the highest honor because of who we are as a people. But it don't work like that. Why? Because of the simple fact that the crackers don't respect us in that sense, in that manner, because we're going by his definition of democracy. A lot of you Morris brothers that practice the science, the Morris science, you say that, you know, we have to beat them out with their own laws. But until y'all can flee, Dr. Malachi Z. Young, and a lot of brothers and sisters that are still locked up in the belly of the beast, until y'all can get back things on a higher level other than beating out a traffic ticket, it remains to be seen. 678, you listen to Savannah Black Constant Attack. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's up with it? What's up with it? Savannah Black, you know who this is. I'm on my other phone, my hideout phone, man. Y'all had it.
Man, look here, man. Hey, that hideout phone sounds like you need to be on a damn AT&T commercial, because if you be quiet, I can hear a pin drop in your background. That's good,
yeah,
brother.
This
you can use this motherfucker all the time.
This is crazy.
Yes, sir.
This is what I need to tell you. Yeah, that other one, you know, that's my dollar store phone, Dollar General phone. I be trying to rock off with. What's up with the family? I see y'all, the whole family together. And before I greet y'all, let me greet the sister. Her name is Sister Tria. She still on?
Yeah, Sister Tria.
Tria.
I'm here. How you doing, brother?
Yo, how you doing, sister? She on fire. Shit, I ain't got nothing to say because she said what I'm thinking and even more. You know what I mean? She done brog it. Like I say, man, this is a great show. I just told you, a classic. This is one of your hottest ones up to date. The sister was bringing it hard, man, on all levels, you know. And then the brother up out of New York, he was bringing all y'all them brogging shit. Ain't no room for me. Even Brother Eric came in and kicked it. But, What we going, what, you know, in this segment, what we touching on?
We're talking about where I left off on the last one, which is the
best.
You know what? Hold on for a minute, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me what it is, and what it is what I've been proposing to you the majority of the week. What it seems to me, brother, you haven't done yet.
What did I tell you? Me and you talked yesterday. I got to go get me a Jesus picture. I ain't got no Jesus picture. What's he talking about? I told you to send me one so I can print it off. Shit, ain't no white Jesus in this motherfucker here. Period. So I ain't going to the store and buy no white Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? On the real. But, yeah, I'll print one up. I do my challenge. I ain't scared to do my challenge. You already know. I ain't come up in that shit anyway.
For sure, brother, for sure.
I seen it. I've been, you like I say, we all been affected by it, though, now, you know, being honest. We all been affected by it.
I call him cracker Jesus. I call him a cracker because, you know, that's what he is. And a lot of people, they don't understand the psychological damage that have been done to them. You can send you conscience. All you want to. And last week there was a brother on here, Brother Ismael. You know, peace out to the brother. You know, they're a strong and powerful brother, and I respect him. But Brother Ismael was saying that we need to put Muhammad up there just as much as we need to put Jesus up there. And my thing is, I can close my eyes and you can say Muhammad. And shit, one of the two greatest gonna come up. That's either the honorable Elijah Muhammad, or shit, if I don't even know who that is, Muhammad Ali gonna come up. And both of them are black men. And both of them, I see in my eyes, are fighters. And they ass kickers. One on the physical and the other one is on the mental. You know, but when it comes to you asking me to close my eyes and count on 1, 2, 3 and saying the name Jesus, I cannot do it, even as a conscious person, without seeing this diabolical, stringy hair, trashy ass cracker. And I am very upset at my handlers and my caregivers for them even introducing that picture to me and not telling me that it was a mirage and a figment of everybody else's imagination. Instead of them telling me that that was Jesus. Instead of them telling me that that was God. You know what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So even on a conscious level, I can't even, I'm mad because we only have, I only have this life and this body to live. That's the closest I go to saying one life to live. But I only have this body and this life to live inside this body that this spirit is manifesting right here before I move on. And what I come back as, I can't tell you. But why the fuck I can't close my eyes and say Jesus without seeing the cracker? I see you, Brother Dante. I'm about to bring you in. Make sure the background noise is eliminated. And, Brother, you about to come and jump in this thing right here with me. But why the fuck I can't close my eyes without seeing this crack? How to get a boy say on my plan tricks on me? Now, that's a nigga I've been seeing in my sleep. Hey, he stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now, that's a nigga I've been seeing in my sleep.
In my sleep.
But guess what? Because of the second part of the show, I don't have no family to goddamn come help me. You know what I'm saying? Drop them motherfucking beans on them.
The fifth won't be.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, can I, while you on that Jesus, I went to the store today, and the Egyptian, he sees me.
I'll see you later, I'm about to bring you back in. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah. So he had some bands for me. This dude come out the back with these nice-ass bands straight from Egypt, you know, because I be, you know, wear my jewelry and shit. And he like, I got something for you. You got 5 minutes. I'm like, cool. I said, my dog out here. I said, but cool. So he bring me the bands. They nice, but they had Jesus on them. I said, man, I don't wear that shit. He said, what? What you talking about? This is shit. I said, that shit, Jesus. The dude, I said, especially a white Jesus. You came to my head when I said this shit. I said, especially a white Jesus. He said, Jesus had no color. He's no black nor white. I said, then what is he? He said, that's all right. Go. I said, get me some bands that I like to wear, the regular ones with the emblems I like on it. I said, I don't do the white Jesus. He said, Jesus is not white or black. I walked on up.
You know what? And a lot of people don't see it that way, man. But, you know, they have the image of the oppressor as your higher power. So, you know, whether you study in Christianity or whether you just go on with the concept of who this Jesus is, it's sick. You know what I'm saying? And we as black folks, we need to realize that this shit is crazy. You know, and if we don't get rid of this crack of Jesus out of our psyche, we can never be healed. We can never be here with this crack in our psyche. I don't care what it is that you say that you want to do. Now, for you, brother, it's totally different because you didn't grow up with that cracker inside your household. You didn't grow up with that cracker on your damn refrigerator when you go down get you some Kool-Aid. I can't even drink no goddamn Kool-Aid because when I look on the goddamn refrigerator on the door handle, it's the cracker. When I sit down to eat my food, I get slapped in my motherfucking head when I pick up my fork or my spoon and say, say your prayer. And I say, thanks for the meal about to receive. Amen. I get slapped in my motherfucking head. You forgot to say something. What's that? Oh, yeah. In Jesus' name. Amen. But every time I had to say in Jesus' name, the only person I saw was that crack. So we have to burn the image of this cracker that's called Jesus out of our psyche. A lot of people that hit me on Facebook, and I see the comments that other people ain't got you know, for them sharing. And you know what? Peace out, man. Peace out to everybody who shared my Brown White Jesus Picture Challenge, you know, and got it being a hopefully global phenomenon, you know, that it will one day be, that it's on the way to being, because Brother Anthony, even
yeah.
if I live, then did a video of the Brown White Jesus Burn a White Jesus Christian Challenge. And I want to give a shout out to that brother for doing that. You know that right there, Sister Trio? I forgot to tell you that. That brother Sarnetta had went on Sarnetta TV and made a video of the Burn a White Jesus Christian Challenge. And I want to thank the brother, and I want to thank everybody that's listening that partook of the challenge. Do you think I'm wrong? Do you think that it is going to be hurtful for black folks to do that, Sister Trio? Or you, do you think it's going to be helpful for black folks to do this? Tria? My co-host done dropped. So I ask, I bring in 813. Once again, 813, you're on the Bad Black Hostage Attack.
I am
also, 813, I bring in
912. That's great. That's great. I am 813.
I'm
here.
Oh, sister, I'm sorry. Hey, look. Hey, y'all, I wasn't talking to myself. I didn't have a sister cue in. So y'all say this is the Vanna Black crazy. But hold on for a second, Sister Tria. Gather your thoughts. 912-436, you know, the Vanna Black Cosmic Tech. You know, Brother Dante, go ahead. What's your thoughts on that, Burn Jesus, Cracker Jesus Christian Challenge?
Brother, you know, it's funny that, you know, he texts me because the phone just dropped. And so we was just talking about that, me and my cousin, you know. And you know, he don't do any studying on anything in the craft or anything what we call conscious. He just is that because, you know, he was on the wrong side of the sticks. And, you know, because he was locked up a couple times, you know, he came into a lot of different teachers. And it's funny because I just was asking him a couple questions, like outside of, you know, what I may have an understanding for of anything like that, just to show him that, you know, out of the things that you know to be true with what you believe is being the Holy Bible, things don't add up as 1, 2, or 3. So we don't even have to talk about what you think I believe in or what, you know, or what my quote-unquote religious belief is based on an opinion that you don't really know about. You don't really know that much about your own faith. And so, you know, me and our brother Majid was speaking today about Sarnetta burning, you know, the white Jesus, and he mentioned to me that you was doing it. And I said, man, I gotta call that brother on it, because, you know, I love Baba TV. I love Sarnetta. Anybody that's, you know, for uplifting of our consciousness, you know what I'm saying, how big or small, we need it all, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we whitewash. We really need to get rid of everything white. But we got to realize that it ain't even really about no color, because, you know, the white man ain't got Jesus. He don't even have what we may think most people that deal in Christianity, you know what I'm saying, talk about. Because even in their doctrine, they don't understand that that's a black. Like, black people made that. We had the craft, which came out of, which brought forth the Christ, the caress, which was spelled with a K. And just like anything else that the white man has got his hands on, he's always changed it. And it's never going to be for the betterment of our people. You know what I'm saying? And we just have to know which steps and which layers are meant for us. And right now, ain't none of that shit on that level for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm right now and here. Brother working on his car, trying to get everything right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's funny how we say amen and don't even know where we get that amen from. It's just another word. So, you know, the more we educate ourselves, the more we find out that we still got a lot of work to do, and the more people open up their mouths and show how dumb and retarded they are. So, you know.
So let me ask this right here, brother. Right here on the Van Black Constant Attack, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna put you on the spot, Brother Dante.
Okay.
I challenge you, Brother Dante, to the Burn White Jesus Picture Challenge. I challenge you, brother, to take the image of the crack of Christ and to burn him for the world to see. I challenge you, brother, to say the same thing, if not better, what you have said is now, with that image of that crack of Jesus in your hand before you light fire to his ass.
No problem.
We can talk about that shit.
Right.
We can say that we are conscious, but guess what? Until you see that crack in the hill, because I'm quite sure you right here in the south where I'm at, brother, you are from the same area where I'm from, brother, just a little bit down the road. But I'm quite sure you seen that cracker growing up in your house. I'm quite sure you went to other people's house, you seen that cracker hanging around. And in some cases, you might have even went to church if it wasn't yours, it was somebody else's, and you seen this cracker, this diabolical thing, just inside some dirty-ass flesh hanging around. Am I right or wrong?
Man, brother, you know what? Like, you right, but I'm going to show you, like, for, you know, I had that buck in me ever since I've been little. Like, I used to hide in the bathroom and wait till my mama, well, if you don't bring your ass out of that bathroom, I'm going to leave you. And once she said it, I said, wow, that's it right there. Just let her leave me. So I used to always, right before we left, go get in the bathroom or whatever and lock the door. And be like, oh, I had to take the shower again or whatever the case. I was bucking that shit ever since I've been 8 or 9. You know what I'm saying? And I got two preachers on both my side of my family. It just never felt right. And I used to always, I remember when I was about 7, 8 years old, I asked my mom one day. I said, Mama, why wouldn't we come to church? Why I get a bad feeling? She said, your ass need to quit being so bad. And I said, but Mama, I've been good. I said, I've been as good as I could be the last week. I ain't been bad. I said, but I look around and the people that's telling me to do good, they do bad. I was always intuitive. I saw the people that was running, walking up and down the street that was, you know what I'm saying, talking to everybody. You know, I wasn't slow. You know what I'm saying? I thank God for my mother showing me the things that other parents may not show their kids in this day of time. I'm a firm believer it's better to know what's right and to know what's wrong than to, you know what I'm saying, be led astray. So, you know, that's one thing I can always give praise to my mother about. You know, she showed me about everything. You know what I'm saying? So, when it came to that, her showing me, I just had enough gumption in myself to say, well, everything ain't lining up, and ask certain questions. And those questions could never get answered with the same answer. It was always a different response to the question. So, you know, that challenge, I accept that challenge.
And you know what, brother? You know where I live at, man? You come over, man. And we can go find a designated spot. We can have a designated backdrop. And you know what? We'll burn that motherfucker. We'll burn his ass down because that diabolical, dirty-ass bastard is somebody that a lot of us can relate to. But it's not somebody that we need. It's somebody that we have to destroy. And, you know, as a young child, hey, Brother Sunway, you hear what he said? He said he was a little kid, man. And, you know, he had a parent, man, that kept it real with him, man. And, you know what I'm saying? Didn't, you know, persecute him the same way that a lot of our parents would have. My mama, she know better than the crack of Jesus. But did that stop her from, you know, then indoctrinating this motherfucker into my psyche? Nope. But then when I got older, she said, I know better. But then I'm looking at my precious little black boys and girls, and you ask them the point, like I'm looking at Father at a TV. He asking these little black boys and girls to point to the person that has most influence to them in their life. And guess who they're pointing to? He got Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, and Cracker Jesus. Guess who everybody's pointing to? Everybody's pointing to the Cracker Jesus. When is it that we're going to wake up and realize that this diabolical cracker don't mean us no good? But we have a shame of even doing it in front of our family. Tell our family that we know that Jesus was some bullshit. tell our family that we don't believe in the Christ of Jesus. Man, let me just right here, since I asked the sister last week. If you were to take, right, this picture, this Christ of Jesus, and you were to take and have some scissors and chop his ass up in a little small pieces, say if you was at a family reunion or a family gathering, right? And you were sitting there, somebody was talking to you. Hey, tell us how, Brother Dante, and you sitting there, right? Hey, and you talking this shit, and you around a family and shit, and you pull this picture, this crack of Jesus out your back pocket. Hey, and they be like, damn, what you doing with that picture, you know, with Jesus in your pocket? But you don't say nothing. And you take them and say, yeah, man, you know, shit, I just had to put this damn motor inside this motherfucking goddamn Mustang. I'm sorry, you talking. But as you talking, you tearing a picture up, and you drop them on the ground, and you take your feet, and you stuff them in the down ground, and you continue your conversation like you ain't do nothing. What do you think the response would be from your family members for doing something like that?
Well, I mean, I got a lot of family. You know what I'm saying? And I know what you mean when you say that, but, you know, I understand that my family is in the stage of deaf, dumb, and blind right now. I still love them, but I don't look for them to show approval, you know what I'm saying, of things that they don't, you know, take serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like eating anything. We don't eat from everybody's house. You know, we give it a quick test. If the bathroom is clean, the kitchen clean, then, okay, we might eat from the kitchen, you know. So, you know, most people right now, when it comes to knowledge and things, when it comes to Jesus and all that, they ain't trying to hear it, you know. So they'll believe anything that the white man or the preacher tell them, you know, but they're combing through gold trying to find some shit. You got gold right here, but now you still going to try to find some shit because it ain't what the preacher man or the white man that told you about. So, you know, at the end of the day, only thing I can do is do what I can to show them, you know, to show them what's right in certain degrees. And, you know, how can we live by the Bible when it even tells you not to eat and live the way that we live today? It's straight contradictory. So even on small, mundane levels, it just don't make sense to me. And, you know, but like they say, to each his own. I care enough about you to let you do what you think you need to do.
All right. Now, check this out. We going by words that said, and I had a conversation with the sister earlier about this right here, Sister Trill, much respect. I had a conversation with a sister earlier, and it's not so much you know, to each his own. It's when somebody say, Dante, you know, we ain't seen you in church in a while. When the last time you been in church, or, you know, what church you go to while you in Savannah or whatever? And you say, well, you know, I don't go to church. And they come up and say, well, you need to find your church home, you know what I'm saying? And you say, you know, with all due respect, I don't do the church thing, right?
Right.
But you say, with all due respect, because you're talking to an elder, auntie, uncle, family, friend, play uncle, play auntie, you know, big cousin that's like an uncle, big cousin that's like an auntie, you understand what I'm saying? And
oh, yeah.
You tell them, you say, you know, with due respect. You make sure you say, you know, with all, you know what I'm saying, with all respect or with due respect. But you make sure you tell this right here because,
right.
You know, you want to end this conversation, but at the same time, you want to let them know you're grown without being disrespectful. And then they say
right. This
shit right here. Well, you know your life ain't going to be right until you get Jesus in your life. Or you say, well, you know, you're going to end up needing him. Me, myself, personally, I said with due respect. So I asked them, you know, well, what you mean by that? You see what I'm saying? But then the words that come out of their mouth afterwards is, those, like you said, we talked about this English language as being a bastard language. But at the same time, we don't realize that not only is it a bastard, but it's a son of a bitch, this English language.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. You feel the nerve to come and tell me of how my life ain't going to be better because I'm not practicing this religion. Or I'm not going to this church or this synagogue, paying my money and going through these rituals that you're going through. So 9 times out of 10, when you ask them that, to explain what they mean by that, they're going to tell you, if not about fire and brimstone, they're going to tell you how fucked up your life's going to go.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I say that
and
as a biological, that's a biological assault to me.
Right.
I say that as a nuclear bomb of the basic language being thrown at me for a curse. So
brother,
how am I supposed to respond?
Brother, that is the same. You know, when in the method that I use when I talk to people that I know may not have the same feeling about me on certain levels, on other things, I ask them to qualify their feeling based on the things that they believe, not based on me. So even if you believe what you believe, why are you gonna wish, or you're saying, why is your doctor going to say that the worst is going to happen to me? Because I don't believe in that way. Because clearly I'm not saying that you're going to perish and you're going to die. Because if you don't know about that, then it's not for me to try to show you, because you ain't going to believe it anyway.
That's the design of the doctrine. That's the design of the doctrine. That's what Christianity says. The doctrine itself says you don't believe on this, you're going to burn in hell forever. So that's what's propagated, because that's the design of the doctrine. It's this or nothing. It's an evil, ingenious design, right? Because nothing is scarier than burning in hell and never dying. You ever burnt your hand on an iron? Now you
Come
take
on.
That. You ever seen fire? Now somebody tell you from a small child, and you have no understanding of science or logic.
Come
everything
on.
Everything revolves around hocus pocus. And somebody tells you, if you don't believe in this, we are going to burn fire. It's going to shoot up through your ever being, and you never going to die, and you're going to feel every bit of it. Because for some reason, when you go to heaven, you leave a body behind, but when you go to hell, you take your flesh with you. It's totally illogical when you say it out loud. But when they tell it to you in church, from the moment you're able to hear, that's one of the first things you hear. That if you don't buy this for these little 60 years, don't worry about it. I know you oppressed, and I know that it's a boot on your neck. But if you just believe this, you're going to be there forever in glory. And if you cut up and say you don't like it and you don't believe it, well, then you're going to burn forever. So that's propagated to us from the very beginning. You're going to burn forever. That is some scary shit. At the end of the day, that is scary, and logic
you know,
does not exist with that.
Yeah, you're right. And peace is and like you said with the logic. So then I ask a question, because that's literally, we had this conversation 20 minutes ago. So then I say, so how in this physical world right now would we purify something that is contaminated? And my cousin, you know, anytime that I ask a question and he kind of know where I'm going, he won't answer. He'll try to ask me a question, and I wouldn't let him off the hook. So I said, so if by fire you would purify something and make it clean again, but now you're saying in the doctrine I would be castrated in eternal hell by fire. Like, you don't see the contradiction in everything that you're saying versus how nature corresponds with things?
Oh, yeah, they see it. It just doesn't matter. It's called cognitive dissonance.
And see, that's what I say. Sometimes, you know, and I try to tease them, and I say, well, I like to be very direct. And when I use big words or words that we don't use a lot, then, you know,
I get the big word quote all the time.
You don't have those connections. And I try to show him that if you know that English is a bastard language, but you still choose to only use that and a very low level of that, then what are you saying about your scholarship, your own personal education?
But not even that. Even with that, like, yes, a heightened vocabulary has its place. But even with that, as long as you can make it palatable for anybody, where it could be understood, because all of this is understood at the basic level, right? Because as you said, English is a bastard language. Well, any languages, Bastard, because there once was a point and we never spoke a word because we communicated on a telepathic level. So that say any language you run down from our
Hold on, Sister Tria, you kind of breaking up a little bit. Step back and bring that thing in. You know, we want your voice to be audible because this right here is going to the archives. Anybody that's listening, they can go on Culture Freedom Radio or turn off on, they can go on Blog Talk Radio, and you go to Culture Freedom Radio when you get on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you just type in Culture Freedom when you get to Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see Culture Freedom Radio come up. And you can go through the archives. You can listen to Mr. Savannah Black. That's me, Constant Attack Radio Show. Or you can listen to Brother Sunray, Brother Kabina Ray, Brother Anthony L., Brother Eric. Or you can listen to the beautiful, wonderful Mama Pearl. But I'm sorry about that right there, sister. Go ahead.
Oh, no, what I was saying is, in that sense, any language is a bastard language, right? Because at some point, we all communicated on a telepathic level when our intelligence was higher. So anything we speak is bastardized. And it's not so much that, I don't know, everybody has their own belief, but when it comes to language, I don't think it's so much that the word itself as opposed to the energy that's behind it. Because we live in a world where we speak thousands, hundreds of thousands of languages amongst the various people crawling around Earth. So therefore, it's not so much what I say, it's the energy behind it, because any word can be translated into anything, and language is forever breathing.
And that's the word of power.
Especially the English language, it's forever breathing, ever changing, ever evolving. For instance, I was having a conversation one day, and I was telling somebody about the word Google. Google has become synonymous with search the internet for something. I could say Google it and you know exactly what I mean. That means go search the internet for something. Well, that word 20 years ago didn't even exist because Google didn't exist, right? So that's literally an example of language growing, breathing, having its own life. Even like, for instance, words that we...
Twerk.
Yeah. Words that we speak with our own culture. It's forever breathing, living, and nothing is less than or greater than when it comes to language, because that's a gift that humans have, the ability to create. Language is one of the purest forms of creation, because we will create a word and it will have life, and now it has a place within everything. So I one thing about it, if somebody gets what you're saying, but they're not able to verbalize it as eloquently, it doesn't take away from their understanding. But when it comes to us understanding why those of us that are conscious understand, and it seems like such basic common sense to us to walk away from Christianity as it's designed, and it actually baffles us how people can stay in it. First of all, it depends on everybody's walk, because some people weren't born into it. But for me, being born into it, being devout, being a Monday through Sunday, down home Jesus Christian at some point, I understand how you stay in it. And that comes back to what I was saying earlier about cognitive dissonance. And here's a quote from Fang speaking on it. And it says, sometimes people hold a core belief that is very strong. When they are presented with evidence that works against that belief, the new evidence cannot be accepted. It would create a feeling that is extremely uncomfortable and cognitive dissonance. And because it is so important to protect that core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and even deny anything that doesn't fit with that core belief. So that is
what
we face when we talk to people.
And you know what, Sister Trill, you are absolutely 100% right. And to those that's listening, that's trying to run some type of damn draft, and y'all going to give me two of y'all people to get one of my people, the answer right now is hell no. Sister Trill, you going somewhere?
You know you my bit, brother. I ain't going nowhere.
Hey, Brother Summer, I got to say that right there, because the sister be dropping it, man, so hot. And you know they're going to go back and they're going to listen to it. And he's like, damn, that's the sister we need on our team right there. But no, you can't have her. I'm saying nobody owns nobody over here, but nah, she ride with us. Thank you for the powerful words, sister, and I appreciate that, and the listeners appreciate it. And you know, you listen to Mr. Savannah Black Carson's Attack. Anybody have any questions or anything you want to touch upon, press 1. I repeat, press 1 on your keypad, and I'll bring you in the subject of conversation. But right now what we're talking about, we're talking about the image of white Jesus and whether or not that image is beneficial or that image hurts us. Mrs. Savannah Black had did a challenge last week that went viral and that I see a lot of people have partaken in, which is the Burn White Jesus Picture Challenge. A lot of people are taking the image and then the picture and they are burning it. But the beautiful part about the whole thing is not just them burning the picture, but it's the word that said by these people before they burn the picture. The speeches that they give before they burn the picture. The things that they say before they burn the picture. And some people think that they are conscious and they are delivered from the hands and the grasp of the devil. But one of the hardest things it is for us to do as black folks is to say the name Jesus, whether with our eyes closed, whether in our sleep, or whether just in our general conversation, without seeing this dirty-ass, diabolical, stringy, blue-eyed, brown-eyed, green-eyed, purple-eyed crap. I said it. You listen to Mr. Savannah Black Carson Attack, and I said cracker. And I'll say it again. You want me to say it again, Ms. Trill?
Say it. Going to say it again. Cracker,
cracker, cracker, cracker. Diabolical cracker. And I know some of y'all say, well, you know, Mr. Savannah Black, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, what did Jesus have to do with it? It don't make a difference what color he is. And I've seen somebody wrote that. They said, you know what? It don't make a difference what color Jesus is. Only thing that matters is that you saved. So my question is, saved from what? What did Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, save you from? What's the matter with your life, with the turmoil that's going on in your life, that it wouldn't have been that way if you had this cracker inside your life? What is it that
you from hell. Didn't I just tell you what you got to save from? You got to get out of hell free card. That is bad shit. Because that place is horrible. You ever been in a church when a preacher is teaching fire and brimstone? I never did. I had a pastor. He was a more teaching type pastor. So he get up and he holler. He broke it down. And then he got out of Jesus down. And I was there on Sunday. First service, second service, and I love me some Bible study. So that's when we broke it down. And he broke down the book of Revelation. You want to talk about a 15-year-old that was scared shitless? I was like, you know what? I don't know what I got to do, but I don't want to be there. I went back and checked the record because then he got into saying there was one sin, there was only one sin that you couldn't get back out of, and that was denouncing Christ. I went back and checked my own record. I was like, have I ever said I don't believe in Jesus? I sure as hell hope not. Because I ain't got time to be there. Hell is a scary, scary, scary place. It's scary. It's scarier than Candyman, scarier than anything else. The way they paint hell behind those doors is scary, and it has to be. Because this fucking world is, I'm sorry, y'all, this world is so hellacious that they got to do something worse so that you're grateful for being here in this shit.
How about this
one?
Say if you're sitting on the side of the curb crying and you have to pay your bills, right? And this dude walk up to you, right? And he walking. And here he come, right? And he says,
you know what? Okay, dude.
Hey, sister. What's the matter with you? Why are you so hurt? Why are you crying? And you say, I need to pay this light bill, because if I don't pay this light bill, my life's going to be cut off. my 11 o'clock tonight. Right? Let me tell you. I have a friend that can help you pay your light bill. Right? And you ask him, who is this friend you talking about? And then you say his name right here. Jesus. Jesus can help you pay the light bill. And he's like, damn, well, what do I have to do to get Jesus to help me pay the light bill? And you know what he's going to tell you? He's going to say, drink the blood and eat the flesh. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you say, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, anything, and I was the one from where I get to my light bill, then he say, okay, well, you know you have to do something else. You say, well, what else do I have to do? And you say, hold up a minute, I ain't about to have sex with nobody. And he said, no, sister, you don't have to have sex with nobody. So you know that's how all them preachers talk. They either talk like that, they'll say, you know what, you don't have to have sex with a mug, but you're going to have to drink the blood and eat the flesh of Jesus.
I can't deal with you. I can't deal.
I can't deal with myself. But you know who I can't deal with more than I can't deal with myself? I can't deal with the diabolical cracker that they call Jesus that a grandma when I come in.
But back to
after being a hard ass son and we are starting requesting to cool me down, and you know it's not a black household, we got that thing and we got that Kool-Aid. And you know grandma, she loves you. She's like, baby boy, you like you sweat. Boy, you like you about to pass out. Go in there, just put that Kool-Aid grandma made. You say, you don't appreciate it, grandma. But then when you go to grab the handle of the refrigerator, you see crack of Jesus. You know, grandma. And grandma got the crack of Jesus with the bug eyes that when you move the damn refrigerator door, the damn eyes swing toward, you know what I'm saying, the Google eye Jesus.
Mm.
And guess what? You drinking your Kool-Aid and you thanking Jesus. You eating your food and you thanking Jesus. You get out of going to jail for a mile of down traffic ticket, you thanking Jesus. Everything you do, you thanking Jesus. This diabolical cracker Jesus. And I know some people say, well, you know what, man? You can't rank on Jesus like that, man, because if it weren't for Jesus, man, my baby won't be here. If it weren't for Jesus, then I won't have this job. If it weren't for Jesus, then I won't have, you know what I'm saying, good health. You smoke? Now I don't smoke. You drink? Now I don't drink. You exercise? Yeah, man, you got exercise 7 days a week. Well, nigga, excuse me, my nigga. I'm going to say it out of turn because that's what it said. Excuse me, my nigga. Well, what the fuck do you think? You keep yourself in shape. You ain't supposed to be sick. But I'm saying, though, you must have been gobbling down pork chop. Man, you know I don't eat no meat. You know I'm a vegetarian. But what the fuck are you talking about? Well, you know, I thank Jesus for letting me be a vegetarian. You thanking Jesus for letting you eat right? For letting you exercise?
Right.
You get permission from Jesus for everything you do?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Larry P. Hall, a white dude, but he is one of the great philosophers. I can't take it away from the cracker because even if he travel around the world, he starts stealing from everybody, little pieces from everybody, you know, religion, culture, you know what I'm saying, and freedom that they had going on inside the zone that they was in. He came back and he put us out of way. That was eloquently said. He said, if two teams, rival teams going up against each other, but before the start of whatever the debacle that they are about to get into, that this team playing to God for victory, and this team praying to God for victory, whatever team that wins compared to whatever team that lose, you got to see what God it was that the losing team was praying to as opposed to the team that as opposed to the God that the winning team was praying to. Because obviously, it wasn't the same God. because if so, the game would have ended inside a terrible storm, and it would have had been a tie. But you have to ask yourself, a lot of people, they take and say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And the actuality is that some of y'all listening, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to say it. I said I was going to do this right here. And I also said I wasn't going to curse, but I went back on that by 5 or 6 times. I've been with that for that right since the trio. And since the trio, you're saying that you're for the kids, you're for the say, hey, Mr. Black, hold up for a minute. You say you weren't going to curse. I told you I needed to have my back on that right there because we don't know whether or not for Chris to listen. But, you know, I'm looking at the internet and I see all of these people doing the Savannah Black Burn Jesus Challenge. And I see people, some of them, say that, you know, Jesus has been out their heart for years and years and years. But I see some of those people, almost to the point of being in tears, because they are happy that they don't have this Jesus inside of their psyche no more. But at the same time, they are much happier burning them. And all of them call him by the same name, a dirty-ass cracker. Is it helpful or is it hurtful? Because that same dirty-ass cracker, believe it or not, and I hate to get a cracker this, and maybe I'm wrong for this, but that cracker are keeping some very dangerous Negroes at bay. That
right.
cracker... It's keeping some very dangerous Negroes from raping black women and molesting little black boys and girls. That same cracker is keeping people from slicing somebody's head off. Y'all ever been around a Christian and anybody got upset and they said, boy, if I wasn't a Christian, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might have a little Jesus love. Hey, Brother Dante, some of them, they might have a little rosary around their neck, the cross, with Jesus, the cross of Jesus hanging on the cross. And they say, ooh, that joker, you know, they ain't going to say nigga. They're like, ooh, that joker, he got me so upset. Ooh, if I wasn't a Christian, ooh, Lord. And that's it, that white cross of Jesus' cross they have around their neck. And my eye, that cross, if it's not made out of a precious metal, it's white. The cross and the picture on it is white, and they'll kiss it. They're like, ooh, trying the wrong thing. They're trying the wrong Ozzy, right? They're like, ooh, Jesus. And they'll kiss it, you know? And it's like, come in correlation and walk away. Even you might be somewhere, and you'll see, like, is that so-and-so daughter? Lord, Lord, Lord. Ooh, if I were the same man. Ooh, Jesus. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I was back in my earlier days, ooh, geez, I'm like, that's how they be, right? And you'd be like, damn,
yeah.
nigga, I'm glad you do got Jesus, because if you don't have his ass, man, I'm losing the damn damage you do.
To touch on your question about does it hurt or help, it's important that we burn that image for the simple fact that that white image of Jesus has done so much damage, and the greatest damage is done to the black home is it has removed the power of the black man. It makes it to where that no matter who's in that home, there is a white man that is the head of it. That's why he sits in the doorway when you come in, arms extended wide open, because this is his house. No matter how many bills you pay, black man, no matter if you do have a sister and you have black children, guess who's still in charge of your black house? That white man.
Who in charge?
Get it. And that white
God
man, Cock of Jesus,
damn.
Hanging up in there. So even at the end of the day, black man, you are not the head. You are not the head. And nobody that's an embodiment of you is the head. This white man is
God
the head. This is who everybody need to get on their knees and pray to. Black man, yes, you go out there, but you still subhuman, because you got to come in here and pray to this white man. And if you ain't praying to him, if you ain't no God-fearing, Jesus-loving man, I can't deal with you. If you don't like my surrogate daddy, because I ain't never have no daddy, then I can't deal with you. I can't stand that.
What kind of daddy?
Jesus.
What kind of daddy, girl?
Jesus is your daddy. That's a surrogate daddy. If Jesus will fill your faith and be a father, how Jesus gonna be a father? Even if you take the story, Jesus himself ain't had no kids. If he didn't have no kids. And in the Bible, he's not your father. He's your brother. Right? He's the son of God.
Yep.
So even in that text,
right,
he's your brother. So he can't fill that space. And God, the creator, is a creator. Even if you go according to the biblical text, the comforter is supposed to be the Holy Ghost, because a ghost is supposed to be comforting. Only in the Bible is a ghost comforting. Under any other circumstances, a ghost keeps the shit out of everybody in the whole world, but then in the Bible, he's supposed to be comforting, because they put the word holy on there. But in no time is there any role that but they tell you that's your daddy. How he can't teach you how to date. Ain't nothing in that Bible to teach you what men do and men don't do, and it takes away that power in the household, because at the end of the day, no matter how high you get, black man, you ain't going to be higher than this white man that's sitting on this wall. And when shit go wrong in this house, black man, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to go over here and talk to this white pitcher. And when shit go wrong and I can't get together, I'm going down to that church and I'm going to give this white pitcher 10% of your hard-earned money, of my hard-earned money. And we can't figure out how we going to make it, but we going to go and pay over here and put in this pot. Because I tell people this all the time. Even if Christianity is your choice, more power to you, whatever you like to do, but stop using Jesus as a good luck charm. You cannot put him around your neck and rub his belly like Buddha and stuff going to happen.
Hey, Brother Sunway. Hold on for a second. Hey, Brother Sunway.
Yes, sir.
Brother Sunway.
Yes, sir.
You hear
me?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. You know what you said, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
man.
Brother Sunway. Now, she and I had gave the example of what we had talked about earlier about good times, right?
Yep, so did.
That's some... Hey, you know what? You listen to Mr. Savannah Black Carpenter Tech. Everything that Sister Tria said, it came from the perspective of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A woman. And guess what? Now you know it's not a lie. Because you ain't going to believe Mr. Savannah Black. You ain't going to believe Brother Sunray. You ain't going to believe Brother Dante. And you ain't going to believe 441. I see him going to bring you on in a second. But you ain't going to believe everybody else that's on the line that is building on this right here. Guess what? Believe it coming from your mama. Believe it coming from your grandmama. Believe it coming from your sister. And that right there, and standing there right now, speaking on behalf of them, is Sister Tria. And you know what, Sister Tria? You got my support 100,000,000% on that.
Right and exact. Right and exact. Hey, brother, Black, can I add on to that, what she was saying?
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know what? And also, you have Brother Anthony L. on the line. Go ahead, brother.
We're going to clear this up, you know, because a lot of people assume that I'm coming out of that more scientific. I'm not coming out of that. And Brother Sunray can tell you and all of them, and you know. So I'm not coming with no doctrines and all that. I'm a nigga like y'all. We kick it like that. It just, I put that nail on there.
Brothers,
you're supposed to have a noble title attached to your name, whether it's Reverend, Minister, whatever, you know, put a noble title to your name. If you want to be Queen, God, whatever, blah, blah, blah. All right, anyway, but like the sister was saying, 100%, right and exact, and she's the first sister that I ever heard come out and totally admit it within our age bracket, you know, Sister Shahrazad Ali. She come on. That's what she remind me of. She come with that type of fire. You know what I'm saying? But she come, you know, with her perspective on it. And like she said, that white Jesus on your wall is where
that
woman was going to. when she was saying that white Jesus, that power, Dr. Nelly Fuller said the same thing. He got a famous speech, and that's what she triggered my mind to. When he was saying, where you go home, you beat up outside in the workforce, you beat up here, you beat up here. That black man, when she was breaking down the black man, then he come home and want to whoop on that woman. And he said, you ain't in charge of your house. He said it different, but Nelly Fuller said, he said, nigga, white supremacy is in charge of your house and in charge of you, and white supremacy make you beat that woman ass and disrespect the children because you're looking for some type of authority outside of white supremacy that really, truly controls you. So
exactly. That's also how we got positions in churches.
That's
why we have something in churches,
years
too.
Ago. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
I just wanted to
bring that to the table of what you were saying, that you were right on track, and for a woman to break that down and say that and admit that. And it's hard for a lot of niggas to take that coming from you, sister, but they better recognize it's white supremacy, and that white supremacy will appear in the form of that image of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Now go ahead.
And it divides our household. It divides our household.
I want to give a shout out right now to Brother Stanley Washington. Listening in, Brother Stanley, Brother Washington, or the brother, I'm going to start calling you brother, because the brother be shooting me little things now and then, ask me what I think about it, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, how I feel, and he want me to build on something, and next week we're going to get on that Ebola thing that he want me to, but the brother has sent me a picture, of James Evans off of Good Times, putting the white Jesus, putting the black Jesus, which was Ned DeWino, back on the wall. And, I appreciate that. That right there, man, was a... I remember that episode of Good Times. Me and the brother, Sunray, had talked about that. I'm going to bring in brother, I think it's brother Messiah right here, if I'm not mistaken.
Hotep, brother. This is brother Messiah Ross, who? Of the Black Messiahs. Vice Prime Minister.
What's going on, BT? BT, or the BM? What you guys saying? He's talking about the image of Black Jesus. And you know what? Me and you, brother, the model, I don't know what... Hold up. You listen to the Mad Black Carpet Attack? That right there is the Vice Prime Minister of the Black Messiah, you know, that I'm a part of. I'm the Minister of Security.
I'm Minister of Defense.
I got your back. But you know what? I'm going to come get you tomorrow. And I got my camera. And I have the Jesus pictures. So for those that say that's in the city limits of Savannah or the surrounding counties that say they don't have no Jesus pictures, and you really want to talk about your liberation and your freedom of mind from this white supremacy system, I got the Jesus pictures for your ass. And guess what? They ain't going for $5.99, $3.99, $2.99. I'm giving them to you right now for a limited time only for free. So I'm going to pick your ass up tomorrow, whether you want to get a blow talk or whether you want to get
brother, you know what, brother, hold on. I know where you're going at because me and you had this conversation
I want to mute you, but I want you to listen to this right here. Just a little small tiny business right here, and I want to say thank you to the brother Sunray 9, you know, that co-founded Code Between the Radio. He sent me this right here, and it made me smile when I was on the way, little black boys and girls, to do Savannah Black Conscience Attack. This right here is the White Jesus Challenge presented on Sonnetta TV.
This is the first image you see, family, so we got the kill and destroy this image. When you really look at him, don't he look like a homosexual? Take a look at him. Don't this bastard look like a homosexual? So we sending this message out to all my people. Burn white Jesus. What we say? We say burn white Jesus. This is how we do it right here live on 125th Street. Get it. Get it. Burn white Jesus. You want to say anything, brother?
Seem like everybody watched the House of Consciousness. Got them tuning in, hearing the states to every continent.
Oh, wow.
You got your holy book, your references and documents. Then hit your brother's sign, get it cracking, it's your confidence. Sign at the TV, it don't get no more reality.
Nah.
It's helping us stay mindful of the struggle in totality. Humble yourself and let the commentary.
Now, I'm going to come back on that in a second. I guess that's a little introduction. Hey, now, that right there was Sonetta TV. And the brothers was going hard. Hey, Sister Trill.
Oh, man. Sister Trill. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Brother Sully. He's a high tech.
Hey, Brother Savannah, I got one question for you, bro.
Yeah, man.
Brother Savannah.
Yeah, man.
I got one question for you, bro. Now, you know, you saying all your other brothers who start all these powerful organizations and stuff like that. Now, how does it feel for you to be the founder of a powerful movement?
It feel like it wasn't ever mine in the first place.
Man, we on live TV, we on live air. Boy, man, you what, man? God damn, bro, you do my heart proud, man. What the fuck? Let's go.
Nah, I'm going to say
this
something.
This is for a joke, man, but god damn, bro. Bro, what?
Hold on for a second.
All right.
Hold up, you kind of lower down a little bit, but I'm gonna go in the conversation that I had with you, brother Messiah. I had this conversation with you. Now, for those that don't know, I used to do a podcast on Spreaker, but every once in a while I call in the Brother Sunray Show, or we have changed emails back and forth, but we hit each other up on Facebook. And then the brother had hit me up and asked me, you know, do you want to do your own show? Now, I was a little reluctant at first because I felt like Brother Sunray is big lead to me. So he said, you know, he my biggest fan, but I'm his biggest fan. You know, I love to listen to the brother's show, and Brother Sunray will bring it to you real nice and mellow, like he the one drinking wine. Well, actuality, you know, I'm the one. When I do my show, it's just to y'all know I have a little, you know what I'm saying, a glass of wine, but tonight I'm drinking out of a cup. But anyway, I had called Messiah, and I said, Brother Sunray want me to come and do my own show. And I said, shit, man, not only is it good for me to, you know, to go ahead and, you know, be able to tell the world how I feel, I said, but also, I get a chance to put my own brand out there. And I also get to talk about the Black Messiahs, and I also get to bring up Savannah, Georgia. Because there's a lot of things about Savannah, Georgia that people don't know. And Brother Anthony, you know, one of the pre-shows that I was a part of a while back, he was building up on this right here. And Brother Messiah, you know what it is, being a part of the Gullah Geechee Nation, you know, the Geechee Gullah Nation, excuse me. You know what I'm talking about. But I said, shit. I said, man, if I go ahead and put it out there, I said, man, then we'll have motherfuckers from New York doing the shit there that we doing here. And I'd be damn. Now, you listen to me bringing up Sarnetta, you know, this not brother, and you see the power of words. And you see how now, shit, it's all the way up in New York that we got brothers doing the chapter.
This is the same image that's enslaving your mind right now. That's enslaving our people.
Even the Chinese know that.
The Chinese?
They know that.
Yeah. Look, she's Asian and she's saying that's fake. So it's not really we racist hate the white man.
And even if I was a racist, so what? I believe in the black race first. Everybody in the world believe in themselves first. Don't get caught up on the racist stuff. When you hear the white boy say, oh, you racist, he's trying to get you to love everybody. So if you want to say I'm a racist, I walk with that with my head up. Come on, you got to back up and get this. So if y'all want to say that I'm a racist, see, then look at him. He looks just like the white boy right there. See, I'm looking at him. He don't want me to teach y'all. He don't want me to teach y'all. If you cut his hair off and put a blue suit on, look at him shaking his head. If you put a blue suit on him, if you put a... Oh, that's what I'm talking about. If you put a blue suit on him, he looks just like him. This is the image that enslaves our people mentally. Am I right, brother? That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Give me that microphone for a minute. Peace, world. This is Father Shawbone, Eternal Great Monologue, representing the gods of earth. That right there is a picture of Michelangelo, cousin, that y'all all have in your house. Don't take me on face value. Christianity ain't coming to play until the Council of Nice.
Nice fit.
Yep. 325.
A.D.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? So what my brother telling y'all, he's not joking. He's not playing. See, I'm a regular person. How do the 5% like you and I? That's how we look. You know what I'm saying? Don't get it construed. Don't get it misconstrued or confused. This is my brother. He might look like he's stirring things up, but he's not. He's dealing with the truth.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the truth.
That's why he's coming over
here. He can come over here. We don't care about him. We teach everybody, black man. We teach everybody, black man. You hear me? We teach everybody, man. Even the ones that ride the 5. I got mad brothers. Salute. You know what I'm saying? Just to name a few.
That's right.
Y'all know him as Hellraiser. That's my brother Mark Cross. I'm from Brooklyn, Brownsville. Say no more.
That's good, bro. That's good. You know what? We glad you from Brownsville is Brooklyn and you're in the house. Hey, look, I'm going to say this right here because now I said I don't care if they take it, you know what I'm saying, and they do whatever they need to do with it. But at the same time now, Brother Sonetta, y'all better not get on there until y'all start no damn Black Jesus challenge, Black Jesus Pictures challenge now. You can't. Don't do the brothers like that. See, guess what?
Well, you know
they're gonna say Savannah Black. Oh, country ass nigga. Oh, fuck. No. Oh, country ass nigga. And they go, guess what? I got a little link at the bottom of the page, so they're gonna go and they're gonna click on it and they're gonna listen to. But brother, somewhere they already familiar with Culture Freedom Radio. You know, they already familiar with Culture Freedom Radio. So now they say, who is this Savannah Black kid? I know about Brother Somewhere and Brother Eric. You know what I'm saying? Who the fuck is Savannah Black? So when they listen, they're going to be like, they're going to hear fuck, shit, dick, you know what I'm saying, P-U-S-S-Y, or whatever they want to hear, and they're going to hear me say a couple words, and they're going to hear my southern dialect. And they're going to say, oh, country ass nigga, we're going to jack their ass like we did hip-hop. And say,
no, brother,
in the Bronx.
No, brother. I heard a brother that was boasting, you know, I mean, you know, I'm down, you know, I study everything, man, for the 5%. That's
what
I'm saying.
James Brown. James Brown. Everybody's saying about James Brown. Shit. Fuck it. But go ahead, brother. I understand. Go ahead. I mean, let me see what you got to say.
He was speaking, man, you know, everybody know you started that, man. You started that. And whatever level they want to come on, man, I get their ass like you say. I'm the technical man. Whatever they want to come on, really, man, the picture and the painting was of Caesar the Borgia. You know, Caesar Borgia. You know, Pope Alexander IV.
Oh, dirty ass
that picture,
yeah,
and his son. And the Pope and the papacy as far as dealing with religion and people did it. So, you know, people say Michelangelo, you know, because, you know, they talk about different things. But as far as this Illuminate, it's two different sides because it's two-party system of what they run it. But that's another deeper thing. But we own that, bro. So, man, we Geechee Gullah, man. Come with it. You did it, bro. And however they want to take it, I heard a brother say Michelangelo. No, bro, it's deeper than that. Caesar Borgia. Let's deep it deep. Take it deep to the Illuminate. Because I was raised on Illuminati, man. Tupac Shakur, bro. We got it, bro. Go, bro.
Well, see, my thing is this right here. We have to, with you being my brother, and you seeing how this thing right here going, you have to take the team. You're going to have to do the challenge. You see what I'm saying, Brother Sunway? You're going to have to do the challenge. Sister Trill, and brother, Sunway Nine, I told Sister Trill, welcome to the Cultural Freedom family and the Cultural Freedom Network. We need her energy in the way that she bring it in a perspective that no other sister can, or no other sister have. You like a sister soldier mixed with a Shahrazad Ali. Mixed with, and you see how she just come. And Sister Trill, bring it, and it's not even written down. It's just coming. Like.
Oh, she. I commend that. Oh, she.
Yes, sir. Like I said, brother, Dick, she, hey, you already know, Savannah. I told you, man, hey, she got my stamp of approval. And like I said, if Brother Savannah, he already know he don't have to ask me none of that shit like that. Even though I might say I'm the co-founder, but I accept, whatever that brother come up with, I know that that's a good brother. He's had a good mindset. If he say somebody is real in what they doing, shit, I'm rolling with that brother on that. So, hey, sis, you got, man, 100% approval over here.
Thank y'all. I'm honored to be a part. I enjoy it. I enjoy building with y'all. This is what it's about. This is what we need more of. We need more talking about deals and more bringing it together. Because that's something I find a lot out here. I see us being separate when we talk about things. It's sisterhood shows. It's brotherhood shows. But it's very rare that we get together and we talk and it's not, and we just talk. It's not always this is the female perspective, this is the male perspective. This is knowledge and it's coming together. And granted, those two energies bring it about in separate ways, but at the end of the day, it's about us. And it also brings a sense of unity, which is what we have an issue with anyway. It's always something seen. It's always something in the middle, and that thing in the middle is what keeps the discourse. So, I'm grateful for the opportunity. Absolutely.
And Brother Van, can I just say one more thing? And sister, one thing when Brother Eric and I, we were just on here by ourselves, just doing it for a minute, and we appreciate everybody for tuning in. I know enjoying the host. But it was always the sisters who always supported us when we were doing when Brother Eric started off doing. It probably was like, hell, we were getting like two people in the chat room, two listeners on the show, but that was cool. Like I said, we don't deal with them damn numbers like that. We don't get a damn about no stats, no numbers. But it was always the sisters who always supported us right here. So that's why it still continued to be there. And I said myself, and I'm going to say it live on the goddamn air, every time we dealt with brothers on this thing, we had damn problems. I'm just going to tell y'all, backstage shit, it'd be the damn problem. We had our sisters who always made us stand strong and told us, and we a lot of times, whatever it was, they and the sisters always encouraged us to keep on doing what we're doing. So, yeah, and we still stand to this day. So, like, sisters,
absolutely.
When you coming on saying what you're doing,
we miss it and we need it. We need it.
You're right. We get tired of hearing brothers talking about your sisters to God and always talking about big up to the sisters. But then you hear them, it's always men on all these goddamn shows, like you see. And I listen to a lot of shows like the sister, what's the Dynasty Network, and a lot of other sisters out here be dropping it powerful. So we got to, like I said, men, quit talking about the sisters, but we got to bring up the sisters and big up to the sisters. But when the sisters come, you don't let them say a goddamn word. You act just like the goddamn day in the mall somewhere, sitting in the back row.
Absolutely, because just like we have to burn the image of white Jesus from our mind, we have to release ourselves from white supremacy as well. And the system of white supremacy is all about oppression. As I said earlier, the white man oppresses any human he comes in, anything he comes in contact with, he oppresses and destroys earth, land, his own woman, his own children, and anybody else.
He oppressed us. That's the reason. That goes to another subject, but that's the reason for the feminist movement, because his woman was oppressed, and we picked up somebody else's baggage. But that's a whole other story. But the point is, if that's we have that issue in the conscious community. Our brothers, they become conscious, but they still don't release. They don't release their minds of that. That oppressive state where the man's on top and the woman's underneath, her work is over there or behind there. In some ways, she's not supposed to be as vocal or as educated. And sisters, we propagate that upon ourselves too. We internalize that, and a lot of times it's we neglect to study too. Now, as sisters out here to study, drop it, and I sit at their feet every chance I get. Because I consider myself a newbie. But a lot of times we do neglect to study as hard as the brothers. A lot of times we do. And it's a real sad issue when we just can't come together and speak as black people, needing black people to get the hell up out of this stuff. Because this thing is crazy. And that's what it boiled down to.
And you know what? It's so silly looking at it. It's just, if you went to self-act, I'm talking about go on Facebook. Don't comment on nothing. Don't like nothing. Don't post nothing. And you just go through your friends' pages. And you go through the pages of your group. And you look at CNN. Just picture yourself as somebody visiting from another planet. When you do this right here, it takes one whole day, and just picture yourself as somebody visiting from another planet, although we are somebody visiting from another planet. But that's a whole other story, leave that alone. But you get inside your car, you walk down the street, even listen to the conversation that's being brought back and forth between adults or between kids. You go to a convenience store and you just stand there and you look around and you just open your eyes and you open your ears and you listen. Don't interject yourself into nothing. Be. And you tell me what you see. I guarantee you, by the time you get back home, you're going to break down and you're going to cry, because you're going to see the simple bullshit that black people are under a spell of. It is not just white Jesus, but it's also capitalism, politics, and even in some cases religion. And they caught up in this bullshit that's so simple to get out of, just simply by knowing thyself, standing on your square, knowing that you are the master of your craft, and knowing that these tricks that these crackers play on you are just an illusion. Looking at CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and all that, they bring up scenarios impact you either physically or mentally. But because a lot of us are flipping and we don't got our blue blockers on, peace out of the freak. Who had some of the blue blocker commercials back in the days. I don't know if y'all remember that. But beat the freak. But anyway, I'm looking at TV and I see ISIS. And they're talking about ISIS, and they're bringing about the Americans that are going to join the freedom fighters, and whether or not they have sleeper cells over here in America that's a part of ISIS. But ISIS is more powerful than the Taliban, but it don't have the resources to stage an attack. No, it's more powerful than Al-Qaeda, excuse me. But it don't have the resources to stage an attack like Al-Qaeda, quote-unquote, did on the World Trade Center, with those bastard-ass crackers we know better than. But the people that they say are helping out ISIS, and, you know, ISIS is a play off of ISIS, you know, the Egyptian goddess. I'm going to leave that right there for another story, too. Brother Anthony or Brother Silver, maybe you want to get on that right there on your show. But the brothers that they're showing the people that they're showing are brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
No.
The people that they're showing are black. Black folks that are, quote-unquote, helping out ISIS to fight in Syria. Black folks that are helping. Now, check this out, Brother Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Chop off the head. To chop off the head. Chaldean Christians over in Syria and Iraq.
You know why that is, don't you? You know why they're doing that? Because they're killing us left and right. And they can't stop the internet. That boy Michael Brown was on the internet before they could put the tarp over him. That thing was on the internet as soon as he hit the ground. So the internet's not letting them hide how they kill our black boys left and right. In the past 2 weeks, the police have killed, what is it, like 5 or 6 black men? They killed
mm-hmm.
or shot 5 or 6 black men in the past
yeah.
2 weeks.
I got a count of 13.
Just to not interrupt you. I didn't even know that number. 13. But so now I got to hear but throw something on your TV that show that's gonna warp your mind. And so while I'm flashing the black boys is getting killed, I'm also flashing black boys and throwing terrorists under their name. On the same news segment, black men
at the same damn time.
Black men terrorists. Oh yeah, the police killed a black man. Black men terrorists. The police killed a black man. Black men terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
The police killing terrorists. They got sleeper cells. They might have sleeper cells over here. Look at the black people going over there to be a part of that. And now they in sleeper cells in America. Oh yeah, the police killed a black man. Now then next thing you know, the whole sentence when that's running through your psyche at night is the police kill terrorists in sleeper cells. Black men
mm-hmm.
are terrorists in sleeper cells, and they killing them. So now the police back on top again, and they all right, and they doing their job, and they protecting and serving. They were trying to kill a black man because he thought of a sleeper cell ISIS.
There we go, exactly. And let me chime in real quick. And see, that's why. And now, some reggae tell you, and Black been around long enough. Brother Eric been around long enough. And I was when I first joined the Culture Freedom Family, you know, as a co-host, I was telling them they was going to eventually try to paint this picture that black people got international connections. You see what I'm saying? Like she just said, when Savannah Black just said, this nigga ain't had nothing. And then his sister come out and say, she said, they was going to always set it up where because the Islamic connection with us as, you know, because see, Islam is tied to us. The true Islam, not just Vatican Islam that most niggas practice. But anyway, the beast was going to say, look at these ghetto blackies, because the brother come up out of Oakland, California. The one you're talking
mm-hmm.
about,
mm-hmm.
he come out of Oakland, California. Oakland, California, we know that's hood and all that. So what they're trying
and
to
even
do
the, even the British, in. Even the British one that did the head, he was black, so... They keep
mm-hmm.
it going, boy.
That's what I'm saying. But what they're doing is saying these downtrodden Negroes, like you were saying, sister, when you were saying with the Ferguson art, they want the world to say these downtrodden Negroes out of the hood have now found a way to link up international
mm-hmm.
terrorist
mm-hmm.
groups. So, like you said, at the end of the day, in the morning, we can say, well, we had to get on them to put the police back on top because these Negroes is now somehow
mm-hmm.
with these high advanced terrorists that we trying to fight globally, they done came in the hood and recruited. So when they start slaughtering blacks that's connected to Islamic stuff, so now we ain't going to say, because you got to remember, like I told y'all yesterday on my show, with the Islamic was the catalyst into the conscious community where we started splitting off, getting into these different organizations, Boys Science, Hebrew Israelites, whatever, you know what I'm saying? All of that is still considered a splinter of Negroes coming to a different form of consciousness, and all of those different groups are linked to terrorist groups
that's considered enemy combatants to the United States. You understand what I'm saying? All of those are on the terrorist list. So when you affiliated with any of those, and then you are Negro, tied to that, and then we can say, this nigga got ties to international terrorist groups that we trying to fight to keep up off our soil when they already got groups that's training in Mexico that's going to come across the border and they finna launch a terrorist attack. See what I'm saying? And they already got the gangs, Crips, Bloods, Folks, Vice Lords. All them niggas don't know they already attached to these groups. Even though they don't know them and ain't associated with them, they're going to consider all of them a part of a terrorist cell. And when they do their little terrorist act, they're going to start going after all of them. And focus.
I want to say, I want to say, I just want to right quick give a shout out to Sister Trinity. I want to give a shout out to Sister Trinity and also to my brother Russ listening in. You listen to Mr. Savannah Black. No, Savannah Black conscious attack. And I'm your host, Mr. Savannah Black. And we talked earlier about family and whether or not our blood thicker than water. What I mean by that is we talked about whether or not people that you meet that's not even of your blood, whether or not they are more down with you and they help you out more than people that so-called your family. We also talked about black business and whether or not can we run our own without the help of white supremacy, or would we still grab each other and take each other down that crap in the barrel mentality that we had? We also talked about the White Jesus Picture Challenge, and I played a clip from Sarnetta TV where, you know, peace out to Brother Sarnetta, peace out to, you know, to Sarnetta TV, where the brothers had, you know, did the White Jesus Picture Challenge, and it went around to different people in New York City to try to get them to come on in with it. And I'm grateful for that. Now we're talking about the black boys, I say black boys, the African, the indigenous folks that are being pushed across the screen as being sleeper cells, a terrorist, an enemy combatant, all across social media, all across national media, all across newspapers, as being the next big threat to America. But see, what people don't realize is that this right here is not just a reflection on them, but it's also a reflection on the Nation of Islam. See, that's who have to watch out inside the scenario is the Nation of Islam. Because the Nation of Islam in America is composed of nothing but, no, I won't say nothing but, I could have said nothing but, you know, about 10 years ago, but see, I can't say that now, but they are composed 99.9% of black men and women. So what is it to say that you have a sleeper cell of Muslims? See, I already said, it said Muslims in America. That's pointing right directly at your ass, Farrakhan. That's pointing right directly at your ass, NOI, FOI. That's pointing directly at you. People not getting the science of what this diabolical, dirty, evil cracker system of white supremacy is doing need to take the blinders off their eyes. If they can't see it with the two eyes that they use to see, meditate on it, and you will see it with your third eye. These white folks do not have your best interest at heart. How many motherfucking times you going to keep selling out your birthright to these crackers? You ice bucket challenge ass Negroes. How many times are you going to keep cooling off, your kundalini, so that your yoke, your golden substance can spill down and cover your body. How many times are you going to keep dropping the goddamn tablets, Moses? And forsaking who it is that you really are, just to party with the fucking children of Israel. When are you going to stop partaking in the madness of this dirty, evil, deviant that we call white people, either by putting perms in your hair, eating a nasty-ass, pathetic food, getting involved inside sex practices, buying these animals so that they can have, so that they can do nasty, dirty things with the animals like the crackers can do, why are you going to partake it in the bullshit and realize you are higher than that? A lot of y'all want to call yourself the lost sheep. I ain't a motherfucking sheep. If you want to be a sheep, you be a sheep. Because sheep are nothing but lambs set forth for the slaughter. And like Brother Summer said, if you want to goddamn be a kitty cat, go take your ass in the cage and meow somewhere else. Because we don't need you right here in this scenario. You need to go join Operation Cook and the Rainbow Coalition, and either go and advocate for Barack Obama to have a third term as president, because we don't need you right here. Matter of fact, you need to go ahead and get white Jesus tattooed on your back to show how much.
But that's where he at anyway.
That's where he at. He on his goddamn back. He riding it down back like a damn, like it's a, you know what? It's a rodeo. You the bull and white Jesus is, but you know what? I want you to say it's a rodeo because no matter how much a lot of y'all niggas buck, y'all can't get white Jesus off y'all back. Because guess what? Y'all ain't bucking for white Jesus to get off y'all back. Y'all bucking for Mr. Savannah Black conscious attack to get off y'all back. What you think about that, Brother Messiah? They're bucking for me to drop their back. They're bucking for you to drop their back. They're bucking for Shira to drop their back. They're bucking for Brother F. L. to drop their back.
Okay.
They're bucking for Brother F. Brother Stoneway to drop their back. They're bucking for Brother L. to drop their back. They're bucking for everybody to drop their back.
I'll just go ahead and say this right here, man, because you know, man.
All
my schools and studies I've been in, you know, I did it with the heart, you know. Me and you used to have talks, and, you know, you turned me on to John Henry Clark and Dr. Vinton back in the day because I was avid of Islam, you know. And I was like, man, this is freedom, you know. You know, and you thought, hey, man, it's that. But, you know, I would always ride what I do. But what I'm thinking right now, and dealing with you in here and everything you're saying, if I still had that mind state of something else, see, what they doing right now with the black man is we done had so much, so we done took the Christian route. But now these younger people, now they taking the Islam route, and it's still the two-party system of how they playing us and how they going to get us. Because I respect the brothers that's rebelling and standing up, whether they want to say the ISIS or not, I don't know if I'm politically correct. I don't know. I'm giving a fuck. I respect that, but give it to the RBG, give it to the Pan-African, or give it to Rastafari, and we cool. Fuck getting with them sad niggas. Oh, man, I might be wrong for that. But fuck getting with them sad niggas. It's a no punch right now.
Let's get us together. We need to do what I gotta do and fuck them sand niggas. It all sound good, but them sand niggas took a head off on international TV. Them sand niggas got them with AKs out there training.
Them sand niggas got leaving their country and gathering. For some reason, these land niggas can't get what them sand niggas got niggas doing. So we need to figure out what to do. Those sand niggas
got the black man in a band nigga. And when I mean a band nigga, I mean a bitch ass nigga. 912-308, you want the Man in Black conscious attack? Come in, 308.
I want to go in after them black.
All right. This is my brother Majid. What's up, brother Majid? What's going on, brother?
Positive, man. You know, peace and blessings to all the kings and the queens and the goddesses, you know what I'm saying, and the gods, you know?
For sure, brother.
Just selling in, man. I see I got to tune in. I saw you had a later show, so I was checking in, you know?
Yeah. I had to do a part two, man.
Yes, sir. It's beautiful. Earlier, man, I picked up, you were saying about the bull, right? The bull was symbolic of a thought. You know what I'm saying? So they always trying to ride us and stick us with the little bones and all that shit. That's what the Mexican shit about. You know what I'm saying? So the reality, man, we have a problem with all these motherfuckers, man. You understand me? Yeah, man, they come to America, they can run black people over, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of this shit, man. I had to put a Mexican bitch out, whatever she was. He can understand no words, you know?
Fucker. Go ahead, brother.
He called me a Negro. I'm like, Negro? I'm not going to I'm black. You know, I'm an African. You know what I'm saying?
Negro is black and Spanish.
Yeah, but I don't speak Spanish. Damn Spanish. You know what I'm saying?
And hey, you ain't gonna put Negro on me. I'm a Geechee.
I'm a Geechee. You know what I'm saying? We call a cracker in Swahili.
Don't put no colors on us, no labels on us. Call us indigenous.
You know, all that shit comes from me. I don't care what they say. Language. All
right.
You know? So that bullshit she talking. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, they got us twisted, man. You know?
And you know what brother did?
Nothing, man.
Brother Mizzier, man, this right here, brother. People, they did not have brung up. They had brung up, they said something about the Arab. You know, and Brother Messiah had said, you know, sand nigga. And he had said, excuse me if I said something wrong. But what's your feeling on the Arab? The Arab.
What's my feeling on the Arab?
Yeah, on the Arab.
The Arab was always jealous of me because I had my civilization across the river from him. He saw me thriving. He wanted to be me. That's him. You know?
That's why they robbed Egypt, bro. They just took Egypt over. That was looking crazy for the Kemetics.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't built no pyramids, man. Come on, man. They trying to come lately, man. This is
game,
you know?
Man, you know what? And those Mexicans.
That's what we have a problem with Moors, brother. Because them Arabs, bro. And I don't have no beef with the Moors, but we have a lot of beef with the Moors because of them Arabs, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
When we talk about them Arabs, the new Arabs, don't confuse them with no Moors. Them new Arabs over there, them a different breed. They ain't got nothing to do with no Moors coming up out of there. That's why I'm glad you bring it up, Brother Anthony, because it's like that. And we had to differentiate. See, that's where we get it all twisted. Those Moors, when we talk about the real, you have what you call the Arab, the A-R-A-B, Arab. And then you have what you call the Arab. The Arab were the Moors, the A-R-A-A-B. Those were the blacks. Black ones look like you
down.
And me.
Yes,
okay? We're going to break this shit down. Let's get it. That's true, brother. Of them get it twisted when they want to talk about the Moors or the Maoris and all those that's coming up out of that region. Those were a different group of Negroes. They don't look like none of the cornerstone Arabs you talking about who came under the Islam that came up out of the Vatican Church.
Okay.
I just put it up and showed you where yesterday, the Vatican just prayed with these fake Arabs, Muslims. Those are all the fake. And because when we look at history, we try to look and picture modern-day shit into old ancient shit. So when you talk about the Arabs and those blackies that were dark black with coarse hair, when you want to talk about the Titi people of India and all them, these are dark black people when that fake Arab didn't even exist that you had at the corner store, or that pale Arab, he a new version. That's a Turk.
That's what
those people didn't come around until the 1700s and 1800s. You trying to take 1700s, 1800s phenotype-looking people and put them back into the ancient time. They wasn't around.
But you know what, they was not around.
And they didn't look like that.
Y'all going hard, y'all picking up for people, and I understand some people speaking from a religion standpoint, some people speaking from an organizational standpoint, but the only thing that's important is whether or not you, and if you black, then you love your people. And if you love your people, being indigenous to this country or being indigenous to that country of Africa over there, and being a hybrid of the two, that's the only thing that's important. Sister Trio said it very, very eloquently that only the sister can say it. It's either you was on top of the ship, showing the motherfuckers how to get here, to bring the Africans over, or to come over and to enslave the other people that was here, or you was at the bottom of the goddamn ship, chained up, being the one that's kidnapped, or the one that's at the shores watching the ship come in, wondering who the fuck is this.
Exactly.
So which one are you into, whatever religion you in, whatever group you in, or whatever organization you in? Because if you're not standing on your square, tough, hard, and can't be known from your position of being for your people, regardless of what prosperity they're from, what religion or group they are in, what damn group they are in, period. And guess what? You lost in the goddamn song. So you can't even goddamn call yourself bum. So the best thing for you to do is step off. I just had to say that because y'all going in kind of hard. And you trying to explain yourself, and then Brother Osai trying to explain himself, and then Brother Majid trying to explain himself. But everybody should know it's all about black first. I ain't talking about me. I ain't talking about no color. I'm talking about us as a people.
That's right.
Now, we can't run with each other together and take turns down with this motherfucker, then guess what? It's a tree right there on the left or a tree right there on the right. Any which one you want to pick the goddamn crush into, go ahead. We're going to die any goddamn way, right?
Yep.
But look inside that mirror and realizing that you are the I am that I am, and I realizing that you are the I am that I am, and we are of the I am, then we will understand this right here.
And that's
we understand that we are love, we are
life,
we are life,
light,
we are liberation. I'm going to say this right here one more time. We are
love,
we are life,
we are life,
and we are liberation.
Liberation.
That I am the black Messiah.
You're right, brother.
Whether or not you are justice, whether or not you are righteousness, whether or not you are peace be still. Whether or not you are judgment, whether or not you are great and you are mighty, it's always a good thing to look at yourself and make that oath with yourself on who you are. But it's one thing that you can never leave out of the whole scenario. I am a black man. I am God. I am the original. I am the OG. If y'all know anything about cookie cutter teeth, I am the one that everything else been crafted and moved after. Yeah. You might have put some buttons on the motherfucker. You might have got there put some raspberry and some eyes on the motherfucker. You might have got down put a little ice across the goddamn from the top to the bottom. But guess what? I am that original cookie cut straight from the crust. Cut straight from the crust. Cut straight from the I am that I am.
There you
I
go.
Am the crossroad. So if you want to get in and you fit in, you got to come through me. But in order for us to get in when we fit in, we got to come to each other.
That's
we
right.
are our life source. We are our energy. We going all these names. It's like being in a relationship. Like, man, that's my girl right there. That's my girlfriend. That's my fiance. That's my wife. See? You gotta put these titles on who it is that you are. Why is it that you just can't be the I am that I am?
That's the purpose.
We are what it is that we are. Sister Tria, you are poetry. You are wonderful. You are strong and you are powerful. And when you put that shit down, guess what? It made the brother stand up straight and want to goddamn go to work. Brother Anthony L., you are knowledge. You are wisdom. You come in with that shit. You know what? And everybody like, ooh, shit, why you put this, boy? You know about all this shit right here. Brother Sully, you are the goddamn, you a young dude. You the same as I am. But you like a damn elder on this motherfucker. So you are, you are the wisdom part of it. And guess what? I ain't leave y'all, Brother Messiah. You are, I am energy. You put in the energy, you know what I'm saying, for us to goddamn propel this here forward. Even you, Brother Majid, you are a piece of everything I have named. Plus, guess what? You a warrior. See, people don't understand that right there. And Brother Majid is fire. We have to come together as the elements, earth, wind, fire, and water. And we have to work together if we ever plan to topple this system of white supremacy. We have to leave the name of it, whatever it is that we are about, out of it. Because in the end, okay, when we do that right there, we always end up arguing and fighting on who.
Yep.
We can't
yep.
do that shit. When are we going to
yeah.
stop? When are we going to stop?
We ain't going to stop.
I love everybody listening. Everybody listening to this.
Listen to this, brother.
Like Puff Daddy, can't stop,
no.
won't stop.
No. Can't
man,
stop, won't fuck Puff Daddy, but I understand what you said. But, man, when are we going to stop? Y'all just put the band back up. Y'all just put the band back up. I got to call on the line. Now, I don't know how this thing right here is going to go. I'm going to have to put y'all on pause, and I'm going to have to play the clip. This right here, Bob Marley, where this is running away. We keep running away, but we can't run away from our motherfucking self.
Something wrong. Why you can't find the pain?
Whatever man thinketh, the burden is the heaviest. Every man thinketh, the burden is the heaviest.
Attack had created called the White Jesus Picture Challenge,
where you take a picture of the white Jesus and you hold it up for the world to see and you tell how this diabolical, dirty, stringy, blue-eyed, brown-eyed, green-eyed, purple-eyed, nasty cracker have caused pain or hardship in your life, if not in your life, in your family's life, or what you see as him being something or somebody that's not only holding you back, but holding black people back as a whole because of the psychological damage that's done by you thinking of him as God.
Well, you know,
and
this,
we also
listen that,
about, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to speak on the first three things that you was, I listened to some of the things that y'all discussed. But, you know, when you're talking about totally economical independence from the white man, you know, that's an entire, that's a real broad subject, and that's a real massive task, you know, to try to implement as a people without networking with the government. You know, it's I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm not saying that it's, you know, but it's going to be kind of hard to do that, you know, out here in society, the way it's set up here in the United States. They're set up, you know, they have the tentacles to try to crush you. If you're too militant, they're going to crush you. Too passive, they're going to come out and try to crush you. It's been shown over and over again, from even go back as far as Marcus Garvey, his movement, they show that how they done that, how they crushed that, how they even came so far to get the Panthers like that. Nation Islam, they try to crush them too. But they had to change their tactics and their approach and the education process. The second thing that you say you talked about, you was talking about other people showing having love, and I've been showing love from the outside to their family. But, you know, that's come from the Willie Lynch syndrome, you know. Willie Lynch, and if people don't not aware of the Willie Lynch syndrome, is when this plantation owner come out of Bahama, he was very prosperous. He was so prosperous that the southern gentlemen wanted him to come over and lecture them on his prosperity, how they could be prosperous as he has. But the man, you know, when he came and was riding on his coach, when he was going through this hall of whatever these witty white folks have the damn meeting at, he noticed that he's seen a lot of blacks hanging on side of the highway, hanging from trees, crosses, sticks, whatever the fuck they were, impalement. But he noticed this. So when he got to where he wanted to be at, to that hall, he changed his speech, and he told them, said they were some damn fools. And, you know, white folks back then, they didn't talk like this. I beg your pardon, sir. You know, you go please explain yourself, or I'm gonna challenge you to a duel. This man said, you wasn't challenge me to a duel, and your stupid ass got here killing very valuable merchandise.
He said, you're killing
valuable merchandise, man. You're killing. I bankrupt the damn self trying to prove a point. But I can show you a method that how you can control the black, and you can show your kids, and your kids show your other kids, and then your other kids show them, and then the blacks will start doing it to them damn self.
Hey, well, you.
That's right. You know, so you see right now today, that's exactly what's going on, man.
Yeah. And
right
more
now
and
today,
more,
yeah, they already brainwashed and already conditioned. You know, already conditioned to fall with that Willie Lynch syndrome.
Like, you know, it's up and fighting our face up to the 3D now, in our face. That's what's blowing me, man. It's like 3D right in our fucking face, man.
I can't hear that part. What are you saying?
No, go ahead, brother McGee. You can sound kind of low, man. Come on in a little bit more.
I'm saying all the shit they put in our face, the Willie Lynch syndrome, it's like right in our face now. It's like 3D in our face. You know what I'm saying?
See, you got to understand the Willie Lynch syndrome. Willie Lynch syndrome.
Yeah, I understand it exactly. I'm familiar with it. to the
death. Okay, well then, brother. You know okay then, all right, brother. How about you explain it to me? What you understand of the syndrome? What is this syndrome?
What I understand against the syndrome is that they always use our differences against us. You know what I'm saying? When the truth should be universal, they separate us between ages, young and old, light and dark. You see what I'm saying? Right now, it's like, even right now, today, 300 years later, over 300 years later, it's like the educated against the uneducated. Not even coming with the who richer than who, you know what I'm saying? Who got more money? Niggas think that they could treat another black man so he could treat another black man funny because he got more money than him. You see what I'm saying? So it's a bunch of this Woolly Syndrome thing going on. Like I say, it's almost like 3D in our face now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, now I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly because it didn't just be started. It started with a few methods, but the embodiment of the whole syndrome has increased into a big umbrella to some of the things you just mentioned.
Yes, to
some of the things that you mentioned. It's a whole lot more than just what you and I, what we're seeing, because we see it every day. Now the whole family is turned against us. One of the main things that Willie Lynch wanted to show, was installed in the black community, was distrust.
Yeah.
If you get them to distrust one another, you can implement any type of ideology that you want. You can start to manipulate them to do things. You see it right now. Black on black crime is one of the biggest things in the goddamn in the United States. And right now, it's not the white man killing the goddamn blacks right now. It's blacks killing blacks. And this goes to the next thing that y'all was talking about, which Mike was with them on the show, the Black Country Man show. Is going to be dealing with that too. But see now, because one of the things that one of the main things that he want to do is take the black man out of the household. If that black man, the leader, is out of that household, this woman is missing, that family is missing the essential ingredient, that child is missing the essential ingredient to adulthood, becoming a man. That woman can only do so much. But she can't give that man the whole full ingredients of a man. So he has to go out elsewhere to get that shit. Either from observation, misleading, bad influence, you name it, it's there.
When it comes to that, though, what we have to realize, sorry, brother, I just want to jump in right there and you can have the floor again. When it comes to what we always say, Willie Lynch, first of all, it's up in the air whether that was literal or figurative and written much later if we do some research on that. But what we have to understand is that treating the African as cattle, as chattel, as property, going back to the beginning of slavery is where that happened, long before Willie Lynch. If you just treat it like, for instance, I don't know if you, anybody on the line of a bred puppy, they have a bred dog. When your dog or your cat have kittens, the first thing you do when they have offspring is you sell them, you get rid of them. So that's where that comes from. We've been treated like animals. So therefore, you just sell us off. That's what you do. You breed them, you sell them, you get them here, you get them that. I understand we were considered and still are considered property. It's just that that form of slavery became less profitable for the North than this form of slavery that they have now. Also, removing the black man from the home, that happened the moment we hit the docks. That wasn't something that came years later. The black man was always removed. He was studded out. You got a woman with big wide hips and she was able to survive the birthing process. You got a stud that was fertile and you made him put a baby in
the next one. There you go. There you go. No. You missed the point, baby girl.
You made him put a baby in the next one.
You missed the point, baby girl. The point was that it was a created situation for that to happen. Yeah.
Right, but no.
My point is this. After slavery, it was freedom. And after freedom,
it was never freedom.
You had man and wife in the household.
If you have a freedom and you never had man and wife completely in a household.
Wait a minute,
let me finish. I'm going to bring you up the
date.
Let me just bring it to the historical debate. So then we come after slavery. And then you have this mass exodus from the South. So that's where we are, right? We're in the South, right? And then the industrial boom happens up north, and you have factories, and you have railroads going out, and you have this, that, and the other. And you have our men having to leave the women in order to have work. And then you have men who come in order to find work. But what we have is from slavery, we have the instance that we all take care of each other as our children. So the man coming in, making a baby, and then leaving, and then another man coming in and raising that baby, that's been us in slavery because they chopped us up. Now what we lost is as you come down through the years, and then we start making the homes, we start getting a little stability where the man is able to be in the home. We're talking late 30s, early 50s. It was a very short time frame, the 60s. Then we get welfare, and they start implementing that because FDR implemented that, so we're talking late 20s. So then welfare comes in, and then welfare propagation says, okay, if you want to receive this assistance, you got to get him out of the house. You can't have no evidence of this man. They come through and walk through your house and see if there's evidence. Now, that's when the removal happens, and then this large influx of imprisoning, because the prison opened up right after slavery, right? There's literally prisons that Angola State Prison was once a penitentiary. There's prisons out there, they ain't even make no qualms about it. They turned it from a plantation to a prison, and all of a sudden made poor a felony. And when we talk about black-on-black crime, you mentioned black-on-black crime. It's not black-on-black crime. It's neighbor-on-neighbor crime. The reason I say it's not just black-on-black crime is neighbor-on-neighbor crime. I'm going to rob the person up the street. I'm not going to travel 15 miles across town to the white section to rob them because 8 times out of 10, I'm not going to make it through the neighborhood. So it's neighbor-on-neighbor crime. It's poor-on-poor crime. Crime statistically is no higher in the black neighborhood than it is in a poor white neighborhood and a poor Hispanic neighborhood. It's more poor black neighborhoods. But statistically speaking, we don't kill each other more than others. We don't do anything more than others. It's propagated through your television. A white boy walk into a school and lay out 15 white kids. I don't see nothing across my TV calling it white on white crime. I don't see nothing across my Facebook calling it white on white crime. My cracker just came through and laid out 10-year-olds. I don't hear white on white crime. He's called a misunderstood child because he's 17.
Y'all going crazy, cracker?
Let a black man do it. Let a black boy do it. Now he a grown man responsible for his own actions.
Mm-hmm.
They do that to us early. So the removal
you,
of the black
baby girl,
man happened
you,
as soon as we hit
you can
the
call
dog.
It neighbor. You can call it neighbor or whatever you want to choose to call it. It's still race on race, baby. It don't make no difference how you call it.
It makes a difference because we have to understand the trigger word.
All I'm just trying to say is and make a point. And my point is still a fact. You cannot change the fact. The fact is you got two African-Americans or multiple African-Americans having more crime in their environment than you have in the white environment.
Yeah, but that's not true, though. If the economic
structure.
But it
is the truth. You show me.
No,
it's
not. It's not because I live in a predominantly African American community right now, but the economic structure is higher than that of poor neighborhoods. I don't live in a project. I live in a neighborhood full of homeowners. My crime rate is probably in my section is probably the same as it would be in any middle class white section. That's what you have to understand. It's not my skin color that causes me to be ignorant and kill. It's my poverty level.
It's the lack of education, not being exposed to the right information. You see, this is one of the reasons why this brother having this show right here to broadcast certain information to people who's not as well informed. Now, you don't make no difference how you twist that. It's still the same. I don't care where you live at. You can live up there by the White House. Right down the street from the White House, but it's blacks killing blacks. Or blacks, a crime, or black on black crime. That's my point. The point is, if we're not being educated, the proper information. Yes, baby.
But my point is, we're not being educated in our poorer communities.
I don't know.
It's
you,
the economic
I don't know
structure
you,
that's
Listen,
the issue.
Baby. Listen, I'm saying this again. You have more black single parents than you do any, you know, in the other race. And that's because they don't have that division is there, and the blacks is not holding their responsibility. As a black man,
I'm not denying that division, but I.
When you do that, let me finish my point.
When you do that,
you are denying that child, that man, that little boy child, or that female child, that essential ingredient that it takes for them to be the growing and be to what
I'm
God
not arguing
created
that.
Them to be.
I'm not saying
now,
that. I'm
now,
not
listen,
saying that.
If my daughter,
I'm
listen,
not denying
girl,
that. I'm totally agreeing with you on that.
If a girl is raised in that family, and she do not observe how her father treats her mother, and
mm-hmm.
her mother raising her by herself now,
mm-hmm.
but she have never seen a man treat her mother the way that he's supposed to treat her.
Absolutely.
And she don't never see her mother respond to how she should respond to such treatment from it, or demand of certain treatment.
Absolutely.
She will never
what
know
I'm,
how.
I'm
when she starts dating,
you.
She's going to have misconstrued
Absolutely.
Information about how to date a man.
But
and
what
when
I'm,
she
all
choose
I'm saying
a man,
is,
let me finish. I'm going to free my let you talk. Let me finish.
Okay.
That girl may develop certain psychosis that she may think
Absolutely.
Be true.
I'm a prime example.
She might whoop that man, might whoop her ass, and that motherfucker, and she may think that motherfucker loves her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And she would gravitate from one relationship to another with ass whooping. And her crazy ass way of thinking is that this motherfucker loves her.
Exactly.
You know, that's the point I'm making, man. If you got not educated, because a lot of these guys think they're a man because they're 18 and over and got a dick, they're a man. That don't make you a man. You gotta be qualified in all the roles that
makes up a man. And who is that to give it to these boys? Who's
ma'am?
Setting those qualifications and who's setting those standards?
This is part of the show. I guess this is what a conscious. Of being a conscious black man, of being conscious and aware of your role. Hell, if you don't know your damn role, how the hell are you gonna go educate yourself in that? You got to get the right education. You got to be qualified. Just like anybody got to be a doctor.
Right, but we not
gotta
the
be
problem.
Qualified.
We not the issue. It's the one
no,
who's
not
listening. So that's what I'm asking. Who sets those
well, you know what
those black boys?
One thing that people don't realize is, and people don't look at, it's the science that's been implemented on little black boys
and
girls.
Right.
It's the system of white supremacy and the thing. Look, they got mad. You see, like the movie, you see a mad scientist, and the mad scientist tell me on his head, and what he do is he try to bring up certain scenarios. Certain type of illnesses, certain type of environmental destruction. That's why they call him a mad scientist, because his job is to create chaos. And we have white folks
exactly.
that are social engineers, and they
yeah.
sit back and they design a certain type of atmosphere and they implement certain type of plans inside of the black community that causes our fathers to go to prison, our mothers to have to work 24/7 basically to maintain a household with minimum goods.
And do things outside the norm.
I was about to say something about that, but I just want to kind of keep a little clear. I want to keep a little clear, exactly. But here it is. You standing outside as a black man. Your mama sent you to the store as a young man. I feel like that young man. And she said to go get some bread. So you come out of the store where all the little neighborhood dogs hang out. You come out with that pack of bread, the jump out boys pull up. You don't know about those jump out boys because you don't deal with that type of element. Now, you are familiar with policemen inside police cars and just in police uniforms, but you're not familiar with the element of the jump out boys, which are undercover policemen that pull up in undercover
green
vehicles
team.
That
yeah,
jump out.
Yeah, we call
out,
them green
right?
team now here. Yeah, green team.
You know,
yeah.
Everybody got, y'all got a what? Green team.
Green
well,
team.
Okay, everybody got, okay,
yeah.
Well, that's out there right there.
Yeah.
The green team, that's what I call them in Tampa. But everybody has a scenario, I mean, a different name for them. So here it is, that little black boy, he's walking, the police jump out, the jump out boys jump out, everybody starts running. Now here it is. They pull guns on this little black boy who just had went to the store to go get bread for his mama. The next thing you know, some dope boy done dropped his dope. Matter of fact, a dope boy didn't have to drop his dope. Somebody
they
could
have
dope.
They dropped dope when they jumped out.
But they're looking at him because he's a young black boy.
Nobody knows.
And guess what? He gets sentenced. He gets sentenced to 2 years do five, 1 year do five. You see what I'm saying? That's the deal, the only deal that his lawyer is able to get him because, like I said, his mama working basically 24-7 just to keep the house afloat inside a little two-bedroom apartment, you know, with four or five kids.
Bro,
you know what I'm saying? Because the daddy is out. But hold on, let me finish the scenario.
Yeah.
So now this little boy is in prison. He don't know nothing about jailing whatsoever. So now he done got taken advantage of and all kind of other little things that happen to him. So when he come back into society, what do you think you gonna have? You gonna have somebody that when they see a black person, because they haven't learned how to project the energy and the emotions off into the people that have hurt them, the first thing that people do in those type of situations, they go and they hurt themselves. But hurting yourself a lot, I forgot the name for that, when you cut yourself or when you hit yourself or do little things to yourself to bring pain and pleasure to yourself because of the hate you have for yourself. But they look at other little black boys and girls and other people are the same skin color that they are as themselves. And they project that hate off onto other people. Either by indoctrinating them into the bad shit that they learn, either by taking little girls away from their household and turning them out and making them into households, or either going and robbing and stealing and killing. But it's all a reflection of pain. Then on top of that, we got the music that's being played with all the little chemical, all the little binaural elements that they put inside the music. We can't forget about that causes their little brains to go crazy for them to partake in the madness. Then we have some mothers, I'm going to say this right here, we have some mothers that even encourage the little black boys and girls to go out there and do that. I done met mothers who had convinced their little girls to give up the coochie. I have met mothers that convinced their little boys to go out and rob and steal.
Yeah.
So
all of us
kind of have a sickness that we need to look at ourselves and overcome.
Yeah, you remember early on when the young lady broke in, she wanted to explain a part about black men always have been taken from their family from the beginning. Started with slavery scenario. When I was talking about the Willie Lynch syndrome, and that was part of it. All of that was part. You know, doing that slavery thing to them now. See, that was done. It wasn't by choice that a black man was taken from the family, but now it's by choice. Black man is leaving the fucking family. You know, that's what's
going
on. But
it's never by choice. Because Hold on for a second, brother. Let me bring Brother Sunray in, because Brother Sunray had a question for the last 30 minutes that he had wanted to ask.
Oh, okay.
A point he had wanted to make about them dirtying up the black Muslims and dirtying up Islam practiced by black folks over here in America. Brother Sunray, you still alive, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah. Damn, I hate to stop that video, though. God damn, they get going. Damn. Yeah, I love that right there, man. I bet Harold make this fast. Like, let me make this fast. I want y'all to get back into that. I'm loving it. I'm loving that video. But now, right fast about the black terrorists. Right fast, Brother Eric and I, we did a show, man, somewhere three years ago. Y'all can go back in the archives. It was a title that we did called The Black Power Terrorist. And it actually came from supposed to have been a documentary or like a small movie they had that was called The Gates of Hell. Y'all can look that movie up, The Gates of Hell. But they were showing like these brothers was called the Zulu Nine, and they made them like out of terrorists, and it was black brothers, and they was going in killing all these abortion doctors and stuff. And they got mad about, like I said, we talk about genocide and eugenics in our neighborhood, which we do talk about. And they were taking it upon themselves as a revolution to kill off all of these abortion doctors in the black neighborhood. So in this movie, it talked about that. So we did a show, like I said, some three-odd years ago dealing with this, talking about the black power terrorists. And just like we already know, we always noticed how they use us as the biggest goddamn propaganda machine it is. That's why they got the nigga Barack Obama up in there as another propaganda machine to do their dirty work. They do their dirty bidding because everybody got tired of that damn George Bush and what he was doing. So they had to put the brother up there. Well, I don't know. I'm going to take that brother shit back for right now. Put him in there to implement a lot of shit they doing. But it's like all it does is agenda, because y'all look at what they doing is. Now, the word ISIS, right fast, doing with ISIS. They already know. They put the damn ISIS, the shit ISIS out there, and they know us as a so-called black people or whatever. What is the biggest thing that we have gravitated to now? Egyptology. So you put a motherfucking couple of black faces with their shit ISIS, they know that's all we holler about. We wearing the onks and Egypt and shit. No, they got those, they put ISIS on it. They know goddamn well it's going to ring a bell. So that's why the ISIS thing, and then they put the black faces in it. We don't see the like elementary shit. You don't need a bachelor's degree or a master's degree to see the shit they doing. All of that is nothing but propaganda. It is nothing more than the CIA operation that's going on. The same thing y'all can go back into. Look at the Cold War, what they did with Al-Qaeda, which it was a CIA operation. So all that ISIS shit, that ain't nothing but CIA. We ain't doing no shit tied into no shit like that as black folk. That is nothing but a CIA operation to fuck around and go in and invade another fucking country, as always. Don't believe they hide out the motherfucking black people.
Yeah, right. As long as you blind, you're going to do that.
Yeah, so they ain't coming to fuck with us. So we got to quit saying that shit. They doing this to come fuck with us. They've been fucking with you since you've been in goddamn slavery. So ain't nothing changing with that. They ain't got to make up nothing new to come fuck with you for. They going to do that. They've been doing that. All this shit is just like, when they talking about the ARAD, and I'm going to shut up, let y'all get back, and I want to hear that. But just like when they used their propaganda, talk about the ARAD came over here and threw some motherfucking airplanes into a building, y'all see they still letting ARABs own motherfucking stores in the neighborhood. They still bringing them in. So it ain't got nothing to do with no ARABs. It was to go in and invade these other fucking countries. So quit talking about they finna come in and bring some new laws to fuck with black folks. Nope, that ain't what the cause is about. Like y'all go ahead, family. I want to hear y'all be.
You're already under control, you know?
Oh, man.
I just wanted to make a statement, man, and say how beautiful and elegant the sister was, man. I understood everything she said, you know? But it ain't the fact how long Woody Lynch let her been out. That shit is true, you know? And we acting like we in a Woody Lynch syndrome, you know what I'm saying? And this done got, like, overloaded, you know? And, I mean, we still fighting, and that's why we here today, tonight, trying to chop it up, getting some answers, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You got a thousand problems, absolutely, you know, and I want to commend the sister. Really love your energy, queen, you know? You got
Thank you, brother. The only reason I brought up the age of the Will Lynch and the validity of it is for the same reason we burn crack of Jesus. We got to let go of the hocus pocus.
Burn crack of Jesus.
Because when you put it as, when you tell the tale, it's a very eloquent tale. It's a beautiful story. But when you tell the tale, that tale to me, and it may not be that for anyone, leaves excuses. Aha, that's what they did to us. That's where the excuse comes in. They did it to us. as opposed to if you looked at it as a very, very poignant allegory written by a black psychologist to explain our current condition, that gives
right,
it a different
right.
type of power. That's the only reason I say it's important to know that
right.
that was something that popped up around in the 70s that was written in that state. That's the only reason I say it's important to know the validity of the letter. That it really wasn't
right.
somebody who came in as a sugarcane cropper and told the crackers in the United States they was raising they niggas wrong and all that kind of stuff. Because crackers had that shit under control as soon as they brought us. They was all the same
right.
crackers to begin with the Moors on top because they manned the seas. But that's another story
right.
for another day. But but I think it's important that we know that and we understand. We just
right.
that we understand the history and understand there was never a point in America where the African family unit was whole according to the African standards. Even when everybody's body was in the same house, the majority of
right.
us was still bowing to white Jesus. Back when
that's
granddaddy
right.
was in the house, everybody still got around there and bowed to white Jesus. And the division in the house, has always existed because even I remember growing up, grandma might be in church, but granddaddy wasn't. Granddaddy was at the house. Sometimes granddaddy was at church. There was a lot of churches with granddaddies in it. Don't get me wrong. But early on, the black man, even when he couldn't identify why he had a discourse, had a problem with that white man being in charge of his household. And
that's
early
what I'm thinking
on,
out.
And early on, the black woman ran to her white Jesus, and they make sure they always keep the church doors open. And so we have to understand that us being a whole family African unit as an entire race, not the individuals, because there's always been a faction of us that have maintained our consciousness since we hit the docks until this very day. There's always been those who have raised their children under that. Hats off to them. I am the matriarch of my family that's going to start. My grandchildren are going to be born into consciousness with no questions. And I pass the torch on to my daughter. But
right.
I'm a product of that. I raised my daughter on her own because her daddy can't stay his butt out of prison. So I understand it's part of the cycle. It's part
right.
of the cycle, and it's part of the issue. But what we have to understand is we got to eliminate all the excuses. There
that's
are reasons.
Right. Well, you
there
got to, only way you only way you're gonna do it. The only way you're gonna eliminate all the excuses is start breaking the chain of psychological slavery. And the only
absolutely.
Way you're gonna do that. You're going to begin that right. with the proper and the most authentic information. You can't that's
go,
because
right.
everybody
right.
can write a fuck. Anybody can write a fucking book. Hell, I done written four of them. I done
right.
written four goddamn books in the 13 years
exactly.
I did in prison. I, right
exactly.
now, I'm a professional driver. I make six figures a year. I've been out of prison 8 years. And I'm doing my thing. I own my home. I'm buying a home. I've got cars. I got new cars. You know, I'm doing okay. But
all right,
the thing
you
is,
got a queen. You got a queen
yeah.
over there. Oh, okay.
Yes, I am. The thing is, I talk to the country black man on a regular, and he was with me from the beginning. When I, you know, he knew me from the beginning. And yeah. when I came out of that place, when I was there. And I watched this show, this by this judge, the lady Hatchett, and she was getting on this young guy by 18 years old, 17, 18 years old, and I didn't watch television with the rest of the guys. I always stayed back on top tier or somewhere by the wall. I didn't get out there in the day room. I'm always reading. I use my time very constructively, but. This particular time, I got up my bunk and I went out there. I wanted to get some air, and I was just looking around and I heard this lady. I never saw a black judge. I mean, a woman. You know, because like I said, I was locked up for 13 years. I never seen one and didn't look good like that. And she was talking shit to this man. And right. everybody was in there looking, and like, they weren't paying attention to what the woman said. But she told this young man. She said. So you run around here acting a damn fool, you know, disobeying your parents,
not being, not going to school, doing all this crazy. She said, son, say the world is full of opportunities. But those opportunities is only for those who are best prepared. So that's to me, a convict, that was the most profound statement I ever heard.
Yes, sir.
And I have, and it blew my damn mind. And I was, I immediately began to prepare myself for society. I immediately began to prepare myself to be someone's damn husband. I immediately began to prepare myself to be a father to my kids once I get up touched ground. I immediately began to prepare myself to be a brother to my brother, brother to my sister, and I hope that I'm going to be a son to my mother. But she passed before, they didn't give me that opportunity. You know, she stayed as long as she could. But the thing was, I began to prepare myself. And this is what I implore all of us. You know, we always talking about, you got to prepare yourself for that. You get, if you're talking about you on a conscious attack, hell, you got to prepare yourself for that shit, too.
Right.
It ain't going to stop. That shit, you think that shit going to stop? Shit going to stop? That shit ain't going to stop.
Don't stop.
Every day we on attack. You know,
as long as your heart beating that drum, it don't stop.
Yeah, you know,
it don't stop.
I applaud anyone that's trying to raise a child by themselves. That's not an easy task. You know, and I say this because I believe that
no,
a child should need be both parents, because those ingredients that you need is essential. You know, that boy, that man, that son, he need to know how to be a man. That woman
it
can't teach
done,
him how to be a man.
It can't be done right. It ain't gonna be done
that's,
right.
No, it's not going to be done right. He need to observe how to be a man. He need to observe
right.
how a man treat another treat a woman.
Life.
Treat his queen.
You know, the kicker
yeah.
to that is us gaining a universal responsibility. And I know we sisters make it hard, because who you talking to? That's my son. You get that. But so what?
It used to be that. It used to be that way.
Because every sister that gives you that, there's going to be another sister that say, yes, please take him to do whatever men do when y'all do whatever men do alone to learn how to be a man. That, so it's our job to maintain that collective responsibility. If you see, I maintain that. I was at the park. I was at on a nature walk about 2 weeks ago. I was at the park. And it was this boy in front of me. He had on slides, and he was sliding his feet, and it was driving me nuts. I didn't know the child from Adam. I said, son, I said, pick your feet up. And I snapped at him. He picked his feet right on up and kept it moving. Because, and that's something small, but that's what we have to have. When we see our children acting out, then we have to know how to reach out to them. And we have to stop majoring in the minor. I tell my young brothers and sisters all the time, I don't care how low your pants sag, and I don't care how high your skirt is. I want to know what's in your brain. Because if I can feed your brain, you'll pull your pants up on your own eventually. And sister, you'll get tired of that breeze and pull your
that's
skirt
right,
down
that's
yourself.
Right.
So when
that's
I see
right,
you,
babe.
I'm not going to say, oh, why you got that skirt on like that? Or why that weave in your head? Or why them lashes on your face?
Yeah.
I don't even see your eyeballs. I don't care. I'm going to tell you you're a queen and you're beautiful without it. And I say, and when you see me, you say, well, oh, my goodness, you do the natural thing. I say, what you mean the natural thing? How is your hair not meant for you? What is the natural thing? When and how I came out? Admiring my own beauty. I said, you got the same thing in you. I don't know, you so bold with it. Where else I'm supposed to be? So when I talk to them, that's all I say. I don't care about your pants, son. You'll pull them up eventually. You'll pull them up. When you pull your consciousness up, your pants will come with it. So I ain't worried about it.
Hey, you know what? And I'm gonna cut your son right quick. I'm gonna trip y'all out. I met this brother on the phone, China, back in the days. it really wasn't back in the days. It's not even what it is yesterday. But I remember, you know, the brother used to, I just knew what you used to do, right, when I met you, right, brother?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the brother used to sell bootleg DVDs. And I remember going up to the brother, and I can't remember exactly what movie it was. But he said, hey, man, this movie right here. I said, what is this right here about? He said, oh, man, you ever seen this right here? It's about blah, blah, blah. He was breaking down the science. So I said, okay. And I had went in on what he was talking about. And he stood back and looked at me, right? He like, damn, what you mean about that? I said, see, I know you're talking about the songs, so all this that. And from that day on, me and my brother had a beautiful relationship, like big brother and little brother, like uncle and nephew. And look, that brother right there. But during like the third or fourth trip, I mean, going up there, because we only at that time used to talk every Friday when I go up there and get my little DVDs from them. But it came to the point from me just going to get my DVDs and me telling them, so like y'all work, I'm sitting up there with him till he closed up shop. But the whole time people buying DVDs, me and this brother building. And the brother had said, hey, man, I got a lift. I said, a lift? He said, yeah, man, I'm just doing this shit right here for a little minute. See? And he was explaining to me everything that he was going to do and also the things that he done did. He said, man, I done scratched that off my list, and I scratched that off my list, and now I got to do this, and now I got to do that, and now I got to do this, and now I got to do that. And I can tell you, the power of the spoken word, words are power, when action is applied behind it, it's nothing that you can't do. I done seen this, brother. Right. I forgot what kind of car that is that you had when I first seen you. Then you had got the truck. Then you had got the damn... You had the damn, I forgot what it was.
A BMW.
But then you got the other car, the BMW, exactly. Then you got the BMW. Then you got a Chrysler, I think, right?
Yeah, Chrysler.
Yeah, Chrysler, yeah. But I'm talking about, the brother got a house. The brother got everything that he said that he was going to get. And you know what? He ain't asked nobody for nothing to get it. He ain't let nobody take away from what he said he was going to do. And I remember the brother saying, man, the same story that he told y'all, it's the same one he told me of him hearing or going out and seeing that sister on TV saying what she said that changed his whole way of thinking and his whole approach to everything in life. And you know what, brother? That next book you need to write is coming up. To let people understand our mind state that you was in and that drive that you had and where you at right now in your life on getting those things that you said you was going to get. Now, mine, the man said that he had came out of prison 8 years ago. This man has amassed more in 6 years out of prison without a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out of, for better words, than most people have in 2 or 3 lifetimes. And you know what, brother? I commend you on that right there, and I'm proud, man, to say that I know you as a brother. You know?
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Man, hey, you know what? Fuck that Jewish-ass cracker that they got standing there to be the most interesting man in the world. He's supposed to be a Mexican. But FYI to all those listening to Mr. Savannah Black Constant Attack, he is a small, bad, fucking Jewish cracker. There's no Latino in him whatsoever. They take a cracker, tell him to watch for a day, and they put him inside a damn commercial, and they call this cracker the most interesting man in alive. So he once made a mosquito bite itself. Man, that fucking cracker. But you know what? This brother right here on the phone.
You crazy.
Hey, I think I did not make it. I'm going to see whether they got one up for him. But this brother right here, man, he is one of the most interesting, you know what I'm saying, out of people I know. He is in a handful of people I know that are the most interesting people alive that have shown and proved and have done things, man. I have never, you know what I'm saying, seen people do, you know, just by saying that he was going to do it when they didn't have nothing. And to see the brother now where he at, you know what, brother? You're bad, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it, baby.
You know?
But you know something, brother? I wanted to just also throw this out, man, so that, you know, I share my success and not in a braggart, from a braggart perspective,
then maybe that I can help someone who's in my who's going through the things that I've been through, or faced, or coming out of the situation I came out of. Hey, man, if I can accomplish it, then you can too. But it's all about the proper preparation. And I always say that. And I, in the beginning of this conversation, I said authentic information. You can, man, you can get a whole lot of stuff. I read, man, until I was cockeyed. I read some of the books since I was cockeyed in that goddamn place, man. I mean, books. I went everywhere a person can go with the mind in that place, man. And I'm not just saying that literally. I went out geographical location. I deal with science, politics. I deal with it, man, spiritual enhancement. You know, I study Islam, man, to the point that I know grammar. I can read and write Arabic just as fluent as an Arab can. You know, but the point I'm making is that without the right preparation, man, you're going to fail. You're going to fail, man. You're going to fail in whatever kind of endeavor you try, man. You're going to fail without the right preparation. And that preparation got to be authentic, man. That's all it's doing. So you teaching the children, like the girl said, she teach her child. I mean, that really gladdened my heart to hear that a woman will take the time to give a child the right information to process, because a child get that information is just like food. If that child is not, if you don't give it to them right, they'll regurgitate all that information. They'll regurgitate it up, you know. It's not going to sit well with them, you know. But if it's given to them right and the right information, you know, it'll work as a proper nourishment, and they'll take heed and they'll prosper from that. But it's got to be the right information, man. But brother, I'm pulling into another. It's another state right here, man. I got to pull over to the way station, man.
Go ahead, brother. Whatever type of headset you got on, that motherfucker so smooth. I ain't even heard him thank God on it. But thank you, brother. I appreciate you calling. The best man calls the tech. I thought you was gonna goddamn sofa sitting up chilling talking.
Nah,
man,
I've been rolling, brother.
Hey, man, I'm rolling with you, brother. I know what you're about, man. And it's all good, yeah. Bro. And I appreciate you calling in. And thank you, bro, for listening.
I'll see you next weekend,
ahead,
man. I'll be back in the morning next weekend.
Hey, and I'll be looking for you. Before this broadcast cut off on Savannah Black Constant Attack, Sister Trill, you got something you want to say right quick? Brother Majid, I'm going to let Brother Majid go first. Brother Majid, you got something you want to say right quick, you know, before I go ahead and log off here?
Man, I wanted to say it's always a beautiful experience, man, speaking with brothers that are like mine and sisters, you know what I'm saying? And I really enjoy the sister energy. You be right on time with the info, man. I be loving it, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate y'all, man, you know, let me be a part of it.
Man, right on, brother. Right on. Right on, brother. And you know what? Bring it out, Universal. Shouts out for the ones that's here and the ones that's passed on and the ones that we don't see that are here with us. Brother Anthony L., you still alive, brother? I guess Brother Anthony might have hung it up. Brother Summer, you on the line, man? You got something you want to say, man, before we close this thing on out?
Yeah, I just want to say peace to the family. I thank everybody who participated on this line. I thank y'all for all y'all wisdom, all y'all knowledge, man. I appreciate y'all, everybody, man. Appreciate it. Much love.
Same here, brother. Same here, no doubt.
Hey, that's Brother Sunway, man. Hey, Brother Majid, that's the brother, man, that make all this right here possible. Hey, you know what? Like Russell Silver come out. Fuck Russell Silver, I understand. Brother Sunway, yeah, that's a beautiful brother. He'll come out and say, you know what? Thank y'all and God bless.
Drop something?
I said drop it with a little something. If you got a little something, go ahead and, you know, take us out with it.
Okay. I never wrote one line for poets. I write for my brothers who embrace me well. I like what you had said, Queen, that shit was deep. And sisters who kiss me on my cheek and say, I wish I could write like you, but I know what it means. I write for folks living the same way I do, which most days is just enough for the city. So anybody listening can feel me. I could wrap these words in grandiose, long-winded symbolisms that would make writers want to read, but they have enough words anyway, and I don't feed the greedy, not when there's an urgent care need, and I carry the tourniquet to slow the bleed. Prosthetic pipes to open the collapsed tracheas of the just like me's, whose own have been crushed by the boot of a system definitively placed to keep the us's quiet. Tear down this damn mic since we can't go riot, because we got to get to work in the morning because we got babies to feed, and they ain't going to feed themselves. And the electric company ain't going to keep the lights on because we tired of shucking and jiving and customer service minstrel shows that we can't live in the soapboxes we stand on. So I write on as a metaphorical write on because you got it, and I get it. Working overtime to keep us uplifted, gifted with the ability to make the perplexing predicament palatable to the plenty, sticking it to the enemy with a literary enema because this shit has got to go, determined to be the voice of the working class poet who put in 40 every week, connecting them back to back and still can't make them ends meet. I hope my words wrap around and knead your tired, weary feet that burn upon release from spending most of your morning deep fried chicken for the noon rush of the famished masses scrambling for their 30 minutes of free. Cut loose from the chain and cage, I mean the cubicle and phone line that they've been on since 8 a.m. line, about how much a corporate entity cares or cyber peddling wares, feeding oxymorons to morons who just want to know their blood, sweat, and tears matter. I shatter every piece of the looking glass, leaving the portal open, hoping you know that every time my pen touches my hand, I find myself in Wonderland, wondering if you know how much I care. That the agony of your despair makes sleep a dream and keeps bags under my eyes. And I pack all my hopes and aspirations for my people inside as I watch the very thing I was afraid of and hoped for with this poetry collide. I ain't got time for passion to write about beautiful sonnets, not while artists, musicians, architects, teachers, and poets are reduced to working under hell bonnets because our babies are being funded from education to incarceration systems on a conveyor belt of deception, convincing us that our situation is just the way things are supposed to be because we was born too black, too poor, too forgotten, too cursed, too many times. The time sprints about another one of us going, and I could go on and on and on, and I do because you can't stop and scream. So when you suck your teeth at me at Walmart or roll your eyes at me at Family Dollar, I don't get mad. I know what it means, and it compels me to go home and write a poem or two just for you and understand that if my poetry is so attractive, it's simply because it's a beautiful reflection of beautiful you and you, and especially you, because you got it, and I get it. Thank you.
Hey, see, now that's what I'm talking about. That right there was the powerful, mighty Sister Tria. Y'all be on the lookout to see the sister. Y'all see her right now at her infancy stage. But really, she is like a damn butterfly coming out of the cocoon. And thank you for gracing me with the wings of your wings. And also, that right there, to my listeners, either the ones that's on the line and the ones that are going to listen to in the archives, you have just been graced with the wings from the wings of the